defend them because it's much easier. Get some calls, because that's what black men do. It's so much easier to do that than it is to actually make a stand and to say, you know what, let's make things change. So that's why I'm here doing this. I'm here doing this because, you know, this is going to be my attempt. And I try this, I don't do it all the time, but it's my attempt to try to open up the arena to discuss these things in a larger forum. So I'm just doing what I can. I'm only one guy, but you know what? I'm not going to let the fact that I'm just one guy prevent me from doing what I can. So I guess I'll just, you and I have kind of talked about this for a while. I'll go ahead and up the phone lines just in case somebody wants to talk about it tonight. If you have any questions or anything you want to say, like I say, I'll just give you an opportunity to speak on it. I won't be doing this for a long time, but as black men in particular, men are motivated by their women. And we have females who want to use sex as a bargaining chip, but do not want to see sex as a responsibility either. I want to motivate him to buy me shoes and motivate him to buy me clothes. I'm not concerned with motivating him to be a decent human being. I ain't got no need for that. That's not very exciting. Until the bills are due. Until the rent's due. Until there's money that needs to be paid out. Then all of a sudden, everybody wants a responsible man, which you said before about she's cursed this guy out. You know what? They're always cursing us out. Mona, they are always cursing us out. They're always acting a damn fool until they don't have any other options. I know what it is like to walk into a room, a whole room of 30, 40 black females, and to have the respect and the obeisance of all 40 of them. But that doesn't make me feel any better when you start realizing the caliber of the women who are sitting in there. That's the part that makes the problem, is that, you know, it's like being a senior citizen's home. I mean, how do I sit here and feel, how is a man supposed to feel proud and manly knowing that he's the hottest thing in the senior citizen's home? I'm the stud of the retirement village.
Woo, you gotta go on that. Wow.
Yeah. I'm the Mac of the retirement home. That's the way that black men feel, is that, you know, it's not like they got a bunch of options running around there. And what I'm saying is that that is denigrating to the men. What is motivating them? With sex being so easy to get, such little regard being going on out there, what trophy is there? I mean, you show me the room full of black females. You know, it's one thing that got the NBA and you got the NFL. At least we can show you something. We can show you something where there's a group of black men who are physically and socioeconomically desirable like that. And what I'm saying is, okay, even if it's just pro sports, where is the black female counterpart to that on a societal level? And what I'm saying is that we don't have a value of that. And if the women don't value human decency in the men, then where does that leave the decent men? I'll say that one more time. If black women do not value human decency in men, then where does that leave the decent black men?
By themselves, or they have to go another route.
Find another route.
They have to go outside of their race. Or they, you know, yeah, they have to go outside of their race. I believe that women are confusing sexuality with feminism. And that's low self-esteem. So they feel they have no conversation. They have nothing to offer a man. They don't know how to lift a man up. So they're going to use what's between their legs and hope that they get, you know, get him sprung that kind of way. And he'll take that. And then finds out you have nothing on top of your head and you're out of here. You're just a tool. And they cry foul. He used me. A man has a different conversation for a woman that he wants to be with, that he wants to turn into a virtuous woman, that he wants to be the mother of his children. There's a whole different conversation. You know that conversation. That's boring, though. He doesn't look like Thug over there, the gangster over here. My girl and I will say he's fine or he got it going on. And you have to wonder who females date to impress their girlfriends? Or are they dating to leave a legacy? That my children represent me and I'm a great woman. My children will be great children because I picked a great man. They don't think about that at all. Ooh, girl, he bought me this. Ooh, girl, he took me there. And if you have a woman in the hood on welfare and she has four children and another mother there, they have four children. Her children might have got an extra shoe or an extra meal or they got taken to, you know, somewhere. One step above, that's okay. We don't got no food in the refrigerator, but we got some Jordans on. Your lady asked me today, 16, do you have some Louis Vuittons? No, I don't. System is shot. And you have mothers that are taking their teenage daughters to Victoria's Secret. Grown women don't get to go to Victoria's Secret that often. They're on a budget. They have to sacrifice. And these young ladies, they're crying. And their mothers are giving in to buy a $35 bra, $20 panties. You're a child. What man can come behind that? Women should come behind that. When I tell a young lady, don't spend that man's money. Help that man save some money. They look at me like I'm crazy. I just look at them. They don't hear that. That's foreign to them. That's not productive. That's not sexy. That's not whatever the words they use nowadays. I believe if men really start hammering down and talking about these women, to shame them enough, and then don't deal with them, we might see a turnaround.
Well, tonight is part of my ongoing effort to try to do that. I'll see if anybody wants to talk to us. I do see one person on the line here. Caller from 910, you're on live, Jason and Mona.
Hi, guys. Stephanie from North Carolina.
Hello, Stephanie.
Hi. I just wanted to, I actually commented on your Facebook post and said I was going to make a video about it, but I decided I was going to go ahead and call in as well. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay. I think a lot of it is, because from my reflection, I think a lot of it was the fact that I didn't necessarily recognize it, or I think more importantly, it was me not knowing myself and what I was necessarily looking for in a guy. Now, I don't have any kids or anything, but, you know, of course, I had went through my 20s and seeing guys and talking to guys and whatnot. And in addition to that, I think it was the fact that you know, I had guys who wanted to be around me and stuff, but I never really realized that they liked me because it was never brought up. They never mentioned it. And so what happened was after college, it was like all these confessionals started happening, and it was like, well, if I would have known, then I could have acted upon it.
Here's the thing about that, though, is that there's interest, and I guess then there's insight. Just because a man can see something doesn't mean that he's interested, and just because he's interested doesn't mean he can see how to approach it. So in a lot of respects, I mean, especially made it to your 30s and whatnot, maybe you were not very approachable.
So how would one become approachable?
Okay. Can I be totally honest, Stephanie?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I have to ask first because what I'm about to say is about you.
Okay.
Okay. Now, before I say what I'm about to say first, let's say I think the world, Stephanie. For those of you who don't know Stephanie, I know Stephanie. She's got the cutest little apple cheeks. She really does. Stephanie is a bit of a cold fish, however. And that's going to be the kind of thing that's going to make it difficult for a man. If you don't open up to him, he's not really going to feel like he can open up to you. Case in point, let's take a look at Mona. Now, Stephanie, you could see Stephanie, I mean, let's be honest, we could see Stephanie standing in front of us, talking to us, with her head a little down. As she talks to us, she's very quiet. Mona, on the other hand, is sitting right in front of you, arm gesturing the whole nine yards. She's very engaging. Female who is more timid and reserved, there's really only going to be a certain type of guy who is going to really gravitate to that. Now, after he's gotten his ass kicked by some females who are a bit more outgoing, you know, it's kind of like comparing Nicki Minaj to, hell, I can't think of, to Sade, I guess. For those of you who know who Sade is in her prime. Oh, boy, I just really fell off there. Okay. But it's like comparing, you know, somebody who's outgoing to somebody who's not. And what that would mean is this guy is going to have to go through a lot more work. A man, he would have to, because I've had time, okay? I mean, been on my friends list for like a year, if not longer. I've had time to get to know you better. I've had time to get to know that. But if I didn't have a situation where you responded to me online and whatnot, I can't tell you that my response would have been much different. And it's not about you run up, you know, and hi, my name is Stephanie. Let me show you my ID cup. It's not like that. What I'm saying is that it's a situation where in today's world, men are not approaching the women like that. We want to know that you're approachable, but we are not going to sit up here and go through a bunch of hoops to get you, you know, to come out of your shell for us. We're not going to do that. The other side of it. And here's the killing part about it, Steph. Here's the really killing part of it. You might be the best, most decent, desirable woman in the room. That's the killing part about it. She's down black first. She's got a good head on her shoulders. She goes to work. She ain't sleeping with half the damn block. You know, her vagina resume doesn't look like a murder scene. You know, it's... But you will still get passed over if we have to use, you know, fishing bait to get you to show yourself. Now,
so
all those,
what would I do to go about working on
you,
that?
Well, the first thing that you need to do is those things that you are saying that the men were doing wrong, understand, they responded to the energy that you gave. What I'm saying is that what you're faulting them for, if I talk to them, they say the exact same thing about you.
Can I add something, Jason?
Sure.
And you can correct me if I'm wrong. Stephanie, a man will not hang around you if he does not find you physically attractive, unless you're smoking weed or slapping 40 ounces, drinking 40 ounces, slapping dominoes. a man is not going to be around a woman, you know, for long periods of time if he's not attracted to you some sort of way. So that should be your gauge right there. Now, you may be shy and he may be shy, but if he's hanging around, he likes you. Am I correct?
Okay.
If he's hanging around, yes, but I think the problem that she's had is they weren't hanging around very long. And part of that, though, Steph, is that you are going to have to start putting yourself out there. If a guy does, if he starts showing any type of interest in you at all, you can't recoil in on yourself. The same way that you are on my posts and whatnot, that's the way that you have to be. You cannot just sit there and wait for the man to do everything, because as men today, women are not as simple as they used to be. It used to be that I made a good income and I had a wife. It's not that simple today. Women require us to be more engaging. With that being the case, Stephanie is going to be required to be more engaging too. You cannot sit here with that beautiful soul and be sitting on it. If you have interest in things, you can't be hiding them. A guy should be able to see from the way you dress and whatnot what you're interested in. Or he should be hearing about it. And if he's not, why not? Because you're waiting for him to approach you? Good luck on that.
Oh, I always thought that a guy approaching me was initiative.
Yes, approaching you is initiative. But understand, after that, the ball is in your court. And what I'm saying, what you do with the ball is going to be important. Because understand, this is basketball. This is not tennis. What do I mean by that? What I mean by that is, in tennis, when a person hits the ball to you, what do? You hit it and it goes back. That is not the game we're playing. We're playing basketball. In basketball, what happens? The ball is on the court, but you are supposed to respond to what the other person's doing. You're supposed to respond positively in your own self-interest to what the other person is doing. You do not hand the ball to them. I don't care how much you like them in a basketball game. You do not hand the other team the ball. You don't do that. So what I'm saying is that you're a good person, and I know you to be that. But I also know that you got a really shy thing about you, and I understand that. But what I'm telling you is that, have you ever seen the movie Grease?
Not at all.
Lord, we're showing our age, Emma. Okay. I'm trying to find a common frame of reference because I don't watch them other kind of movies like that. But what I
am
saying...
Well, I don't watch too much TV.
Not that you watch TV, I'm just asking to be caught up on things. But here's my real point is that it's kind of like you don't want a situation where people are having to wonder about you. At some point, even us nerds, and you're one, at some point, even us nerds need to understand that our value is worthless if nobody else can see it. What are you doing to advertise yourself that men will notice you? That's first of all. What are you doing? Because that trip to Victoria's Secret that Mona was talking about, every woman needs to make that trip. Every woman does. You should have at least one lady killer outfit in your closet. If you don't, that's a problem, Steph.
Well, I think I have a get 'em girl outfit.
You know what? You may think that, but are the men, take a look at men's responses. What are the men showing you through their actions? And it's not about appealing sexually. It's not what I mean. You're supposed to use cleavage to get a conversation. Cleavage is to get a conversation. There's your bait there. He comes talking a fool. Next! But the things that you're interested in, Stephanie, it shouldn't be rocket science for a man to figure it out. And the other thing is, when you see a guy who has promise, you are supposed to be approaching him, not wait for him to approach you. Because that approaching thing, showing initiative, that door swings both ways, man. It swings both ways. And too often, and understand, the reason I know all this is because I'm one of those people. I'm not the kind of guy who approaches people either, okay? I know that's really hard to believe because aren't you the guy who's on a radio broadcast and you invite people to call you? Yeah, I do this because this is the only way to turn the situation around that I could think of. But what I'm saying is that that's not the way to get a woman. Should I say that's not that methodology is not the easy way. We tend to make it too hard for people to notice what we're about, Steph. We make it too difficult. A guy will approach you and say hi. He is not going to spend 30 minutes trying to get you to open up about yourself. And that does not mean that you start telling him about your mama was a heifer and all that stuff. That's not what that means. What that means is that this man needs to find out about, you should find out about what you two have in common, dating. All relationships are based upon what do we have in common. And you should be spending that first 30 seconds to determine, do we have anything in common? First off, starting with our speech patterns. Do we communicate the same? Then you move on to subjects. That shouldn't be rocket science to figure out. And we shouldn't make it into rocket science either. You should be able to find out what you two have in common within 30 seconds. Or at least to determine that we communicate on the same level. Now, if we don't, next. But if we do, that's where you go from there, Steph. But here's the problem. The problem is I can't tell you a pickup line for a guy or a female. I don't know how he's going to approach you specifically, but I do know that it's like selling things. For a salesman, you should be able to tell when it's time to close the deal. If he's showing interest in you, as Mona said, if he's standing in front of you, he's showing interest. I'm a guy. I am confirming what I just told you. If a man is sitting and you're standing over him, ain't much interest going. If he's standing in front of you, he's interested. Now you just determine, is he worth the time to talk to? That's that 30 seconds of do we communicate on the same level. And from there, you should be finding out, do we have similar interests? I like travel is not finding out a similar interest. I think white women are prettier than black women. Whoa! Compatibility.
Uh-huh.
I like watching Scandal. Thank you very much. We do not have similar interests. You know, if you like History Channel and whatnot like that, that's something he would need to know. What I'm saying is it's a bit of work, but it shouldn't be a fishing expedition to get you to give that information to him. You fish around for each other's common interests. It shouldn't be a damn treasure hunt to figure out what Stephanie likes and what she's interested in and to be able to converse and go back and forth about it. Because me and Emma, we agree on a lot, but there are things that we don't agree on, but she should be able to explain to me what her position is on the things we don't agree on and go from there. But it shouldn't be a damn treasure hunt to get her to explain to me what that is. Fortunately for me, it never is with Mona, but you get my point. I mean, it shouldn't be this huge ordeal to get that. And unfortunately, Steph is concerned. She's a very congenial person, but what that means is that she's waiting for approval. And what I'm saying, Steph, is step out there. It's your time to start vetting people. But he's not going to sit there for 20 years waiting to find out if you're worth it. He's not going to do that. There's too many other females out there who will open up quicker. And he'll come back to you later if he encounters you. Unfortunately, no, there's a chance that's any good. But here's the problem, Steph. All that will really mean is you were 10 years old. If you don't open up to him now any better than you did 10 years ago, guess what? He may be more determined to try to make this work, but ultimately it's doomed to failure. It's time to come out of your shell.
Can I say something?
No.
You know, Stephanie, I kind of feel you because I know Jason's going to be like, what? I'm very shy around men that I like.
That I really is live, okay. Black Channel.
I am. I really am very shy. If this guy that we're just talking, I can talk to anybody. But if it's a guy that I like, I get like a little girl. I do. I don't talk. And my girlfriends would tell this. They'd be like, what's wrong with you? And I think that's where I know I have a respect for man. That's when I know I see a man in my presence. I do. I try to, you know, sit back and I'm kind of like that. But, yeah, you're going to have to come out your shell. And I think, Jason, because when you're trying to be a lady, some men don't like aggressive women, and then some say you got to talk to a man first. So there's kind of like a fine line for a real woman, so that she doesn't look trashy, but she does boring. So you, and then we don't want to be rejected. You're gonna have to find your little niche, how you, you know, interact with him.
Okay, let's go a little bit further, okay? Live fire test here on BlackChannel.net radio. Stephanie, let's try it right now. Outside, other than blackness, nothing black related at all. Tell me, what is a, if you overheard a man speaking to somebody else about something, what would be a subject that would make you say, oh, I want to get to know this guy better? Name something. Something that you'd be interested in, that if you heard him talking about that, you'd say, oh, that's the kind of guy I want to get to know better. Tell me.
Oh, my goodness. It's like so many things. Well, really, if somebody says something like educational kind of thing, I'm kind of on it. Especially if space
education.
Stuff.
I'm not sure what that space and stuff. I'm not sure what that means.
Well, because I'm the type of person, I like to ask a lot of questions. So if they say something interesting, then usually it'll like spark my interest and I'll ask questions.
Exactly. And that is the problem. You're in your shell. That's precisely what I mean by in your shell. What you really just meant to say was, if they approach me and if they say something, I will to capitalize on the opportunity. Stephanie, you can't wait for opportunities. You have to go make them. Now, did you all hear what happened here? I'm not being mean to you, Steph. I'm being honest here, and this is a good opportunity for people to learn. Stephanie, I asked you what was it you could say that would get you interested, and you went blank.
Yes.
And then when you did start talking, you didn't give specifics. You know who else practices the same behavior? Black voters. Black voters cannot tell our politicians what we actually want. And guess what the politicians give us? Because you don't actually have any demands. You don't even know what it is you're asking for. You know you want a man, but when I ask
Well,
you,
I know okay, what I want, but I don't want the same too, like...
Okay, but if you, can't tell us, if you cannot tell us what you want looks like, how do you know that's what you even want? Because just having the biological urge to want to mate with somebody, that's a biological urge. That has nothing to do with what you want. Otherwise, you'd be with somebody right now. So the question becomes here, you can't even tell your constituency what you want from them. Or if you're the constituency, you can't even tell the politician what you want.
Okay.
And that's what I'm saying is that if you can't even identify that in the man, how are you going to make those statements? Well, something about space or whatnot. Well, you know what? That's perfectly fine. I guess I don't know how many black people walking around talking about space. You know, that's one of the things. You can find it, and that's just good. And she's got specifics there. But no, not really specifics. That's actually very vague, to be totally honest with you. It's very vague. Space. Do you know how big space is? Do you know how many objects there
are? Well,
not
necessarily space, but I don't know. I just, growing up, the whole NASA thing and going to NASA and then being in the calculus class and going to NASA there and just...
Okay, well, let's talk about something a little bit closer.
That's what gets me in, like, human behavior and...
Well, let's talk about something a little bit closer to Earth. Human behavior, good start, but let's talk about something closer to Earth. Something that people come into contact with daily, okay? Because outer space is something that I think exactly 16 people have come into contact with. Of the whole of human history. There's been about 16 people who came in contact. I mean, if you count, you know, the moon or really high space orbit, well, that's with the space stations. I guess it's a couple of dozen people by now, counting from America, not counting the Russians, and now the Chinese jumping into it. So outside of a Star Wars convention, I don't know how far that's going to go. So it's going to be kind of hard to have space in common with the average person. What is something that you would have in common with the average person that makes you interested?
Well, gee. Like I said, I mean, as far, I like to, well, I people watch, and maybe that's that whole me being in my shell type thing. So I think that's something I'll probably have to think about, like sit down and actually think about and consider.
Well, I mean, I'm glad she's giving an honest answer. I want you to be honest about it with yourself. That's an important thing to have. I want you to be honest about that with yourself. Because it's not enough for me or somebody else to understand. That's not enough. You have to understand what's been going wrong. Stephanie is a wonderful constituent. She is. I'll tell you all right now, she is part of that black womanhood that we want out there. But the problem is Stephanie is not able to tell us as men what she wants from us. She doesn't actually know how to connect to us. But the reason for that is because she does not actually need to ask us for. And that's how you end up with men just talking to you about sex. That doesn't require talking. Because we're not sure exactly what else you want from us. So, let's start there. And I don't want you to sit on that, Steph, because you ain't no younger. I'm just okay. Saying, babe, you're in your 30s now. Younger. So having the social skills to communicate with other people, you got to get that now. So I'm going to prescribe this for you, okay? And I'll let everybody else decide if you're serious about this or not. I want you to start calling me more regularly. Whatever I'm talking about, okay. Whenever I'm broadcasting, I should get a call from Stephanie.
Every time you broadcast?
Every time.
Okay.
So that we can start this process of you talking to somebody. And you need somebody who's on a higher level. So that way you can start stepping your game up. Not saying that I'm this great, grand, grand, wonderful person. What I'm saying is that a situation like this right here where you're feeling that you have to where you're feeling you have to engage in the situation. That's what you need to start doing is cultivating the ability to do that. Because anybody can answer a question they are asked. That's not the real point. The real point is can you hold a conversation and exchange thoughts and ideas with another person? If you both agree, exchange your thoughts and your ideas about that.
Well, Jason, I'm a little bit hesitant about that because whenever I do go out, sometimes when I'm talking, I feel like they don't get me.
And that's the problem is that it doesn't matter whether or not they get you or not. Bill Clinton is the greatest politician of the 20th century, if not of all time. And you know why? Because he mastered the art of engaging people. Barack Obama is an introvert and an awkward one, by the way, compared to Bill Clinton. He is an awkward introvert compared to Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton has the same thing with everybody. He walks up, looks you dead in the eye, grabs your hand with his right hand, and holds your elbow with his left hand. Damn near hugging you. And by the way, Bill Clinton has a photographic memory. That certainly helps. But even without that memory of his, he is still a formidable force because he makes a point to make a connection to you within the first 5 seconds that he meets you. Now, I'm not saying you need to do that with everybody. That's what a politician does for a living. But for you, you're trying to get noticed by somebody. You need to start perfecting the art of engaging them. Regardless whether you think they're accepting of it or not. You ain't trying to meet the whole damn world. That's the first thing. You're trying to meet one guy. One person.
Well, it's a numbers game, isn't it?
No. It's only one number. There's one number that counts. You. That's the number that counts. And you are attracting the kind of people to yourself like yourself. They're a little soft and introverted too. Now we got two introverts trying to come out of their shells. Oh, God. And wondering why we're not getting a whole lot of traction. So what I'm saying is that where you are concerned, you're a wonderful girl, you're a lovely girl, you have a beautiful soul. You are not very engaging. And in the 21st century, I don't care how great a woman is, Kim Kardashian is soft-spoken too. And she's engaging like a son of a gun, ain't she? Real talk. Beyonce is not the most outspoken person, but she's engaging as hell. We can go down the list. And I'm just saying, you need to cultivate some of that engaging, some of that engagement. You need to start cultivating that. Because when you start cultivating it, you will start recognizing it in other people. The reason you're having such a hard time is because you don't recognize it in people. You start perfecting that in yourself, and you will recognize it in other people. But it starts with practice. So I'm going to recommend you give me a call every time I'm broadcasting. Oh, well, you know, I'll be broadcasting tomorrow night. So we'll get this all over again tomorrow. What's she saying? Oh, this is about as comfortable as a root canal. But, hey, this is a safe environment because we're your friends here, Steph.
Definitely. I'm looking forward to it.
I'm looking forward to it, too, so I expect to hear from you. I expect to hear from you, Steph.
I have one last question for Stephanie. Yes, I do. Stephanie,
go ahead.
When you're out in public, do you speak in? Do you just say hi?
Do I do what when I'm out in public?
Speak man. You know, you walk past a man, do you say hi?
Yeah, I speak to people.
I didn't say people, I said men.
Thank you. That came really unsure when she said
that. I do. I speak to guys. I say hi. I at least say hey. I don't go into this whole elaborate thing, but I'll smile at them or nod, and I'll say, hi, how are you? I'm in the South, so it makes it easier to be like, good morning.
Well, here's my real thing, though, Stephanie, is I like you, and you don't engage me very much. Now, I understand. I understand. I'm the black Ayatollah, and I can be a little intimidating for some people. I get that. But what I'm saying is that I'm one of the people who likes you, and you don't engage me very much either. So if that's what you do somebody that you know, I got a pretty good idea how you're doing strangers. Real talk. So you're not unfriendly. It's nothing to do with your friendliness. It has nothing to do with how friendly you are. You're very friendly. But that is not engaging. That's engaging. I have a very hard time imagining you starting a conversation with a man. Very hard. Real talk. But you'll have time to work on that. Thank you very much for calling us, Stephanie. I look forward to speaking to you tomorrow.
I will definitely call in tomorrow night, and I look forward to hearing from you.
You look to hear from me. You will get in the chat room and you will say, DBA, I'm on the line, and I will stop what I'm doing after I finish my monologue, and we'll get to you.
Okay.
Don't worry, Johnny will be looking. Johnny and Candace. My team will be looking for you. I'll speak to you tomorrow. Well, hell, I'll speak to you later today.
All right.
After midnight, my time. I have a few people on the line, and I grab a couple of them. Caller from 832. You're on live with the Black Channel.
Black first.
Black Channel right now. It's Jason and Steph. Jason and Mona. Mixing up Mona already. What's your name? Where you calling from?
This is Olmecan descendant calling from Texas.
What's on your mind, brother?
Just listening to the topic you covered about black women and how they lose their eligibility to be married after children. and it's just you know, major epidemic of that. I think they spend in their 20s to 30s just throwing it away, you know, and then they catch a couple kids and they don't understand that when men aren't really going to choose women that have kids from other men, because it diminishes their value, and the men look at them like, I ain't going to have a legacy with this woman, and I got to deal with her headache she created for herself in the 30s. And did she sleep with half the block before she ran to me? You know, I have no kids or whatever. You know, if she's looking like, okay, this guy got no kids, he's responsible, and she passed him up in her 20s and 30s because she just wanted to party. And the guy who stayed the course and did what he had to do, you know, they want to bounce to you after they didn't, you know, torque their way through the last 10 years. So it's just, I see that all over the place. I got a lot of friends, you know, that, you know, even my brother, you know, he's a little younger than me because I'm in my older 30s. He's in his young 30s, and he has his own business. He's doing good. And all the girls he went to school with are trying to get at him. They all got kids. They can't understand why he's like, hell no.
You tell him that TBA is on the first thing with wings to smack him in the back of the head if he takes any of them.
Oh, that no, young man I let him know.
Worked hard and got himself together, and now he's going to – he did all that work so he can throw it away. I'll throw away all those benefits on a baby mama that don't give a damn about him. She's just looking for a new benefit because the old benefits ran out.
That's the epidemic. I got a lot of friends like that, you know. They did their thing. They had their business. They didn't catch any children. And now it's just like all the chicks we went to school with that, you know, basically got holed out. They're trying to show up. You know, so it's just like.
Now, how old are you, Mackin?
I'm 36. But
okay,
I have a wife, kids, all that.
Yeah, you and I are the same range, but I'm sure that even being married, you've had the same happen to you that's happened to me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've had some way back in the day, you know, girls that I dealt with kind of come back and like, oh, you got a family, you got a business, and this, and this, and this. And, you know, but, you know, I'm off the market, but. My friends with no kids and they own business are decent, nice, decent paying job and they own things together. It's ridiculous. They're searching through Facebook. Hey, where you been for the last 10 years? And they find out overweight, kids, baby daddy, here, there, slept with about 60 dudes over the last 15 years. It's crazy.
I wanted to talk about that right quick too. Mona, women don't have any real idea of what it feels like for a man when half the neighborhood. Do you know, as a man, that when we walk through the store, we can tell when a dude is looking at you. We can tell when a guy is looking at you with the, oh, I slept with you look.
Oh, yeah.
We know that look. Now, this is something that females don't like to talk about, but we know that look. We know the look when we slept with you, and he's looking at you like, oh, yeah, we ain't supposed to talk about that. Oh, I see you with somebody else. We ain't supposed to talk about that. Because there's a difference between the way a stranger looks at you and the way somebody who knows you looks at you. And what does that do when a man has to think about, wow, I walked through Walmart and three dudes done looked at you like that. So we can't even go out anywhere and a good percentage of the population has seen you naked. What does that do for a man when a bunch of other men have seen his woman naked? How does he feel special in light of something like that? Do women actually understand what that does? I mean, because that's the kind of thing that will destroy marriage. It really will. Not only will eventually you get married, if the man understands it after you've got married, if he learns it later, that kind of thing is going to be bothering him and not going away. Do you think women understand that?
They don't understand it. And that's something that I talk about also. If you've done everything with every man, every way, and every man knows you, the same way, what do you have for your husband? do you have that special for man? And I deflect. Women do it too. But you're not a man. You're a woman. A man is somebody special. A man is territorial. He don't want to know that every man had his woman. He does not want that. And I talk about it too, but to the dears.
Yeah, they don't try. Women, I don't think women get that. They don't understand that when a man is with a woman and she's been around, you know, she's got high mileage, he can't just in his own psyche respect her or have any value to her because she's going to be like, I'm with somebody that everybody used. She's, you know, it's almost like looking at a used condom. You just don't even want to touch it. You're like, what the? They don't understand it. Your value is in how many men you turn down because he felt like he's accomplished something that other men tried but didn't get. So he feels like he's accomplished something. But once that's taken away because you've holed out and got you 20, 30, 40, 50 dudes you set with, he doesn't want to deal with you because it's like she doesn't care about herself, so I'm definitely not going to put no value in her. He's looking for the chick that, you know, maybe she had one, two, let's just say less than five. Okay, maybe, you know. But just when she's been around, it ain't going to work. Because he ain't got respect for her. And women say, oh, you know, I'm going to sleep with whoever. Maybe they bought into feminism. I don't know what happened to them. But from the 90s to now, women just like, they screw everybody. And men don't give a damn because when we were young, yeah, we want to screw all of them. But we know that's a hoe. And we're not trying to wife her. And you can't come back at 30 or 35 after being a hoe from 20 to 35 and just think you're finna get picked up to play in the game. No. You got to get out the stadium. You're done.
And I think you're absolutely correct. No. I got with my son at 24, had a child when I was 27. It took him to like 50 to tell me that you knew what you wanted at an early age. You knew you wanted the family, you wanted the business. I know that. You were more advanced than me. Women, I don't know where their mindsets are. Don't.
Yeah.
And they'll make the excuse, well, you know, he tricked me. You know, he said all the things that I wanted to hear. He said I was cute. Well, you didn't know he was cute before that. He said all these things, and okay, you can make one mistake. Everybody can bamboozle you. Have any value for yourself. And we have to stop calling them women. We have to call them females because they haven't even progressed womanhood.
Yeah.
Because you can't keep making the same mistake over and over again and not learning the lesson and saying it's someone else's fault, it is your fault.
Yeah. I think it goes back to like Jason.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I think it goes back to like, you know, you and Jason talked about earlier. A certain segment of the black female population has embraced this whole culture or no value, sex is all I can use, or sex don't really mean nothing, I can do what I want culture, and I'll worry about getting my stuff together later. They just, you know, it's just like a certain amount, you know. You got to go through so many chicks that's just on just straight screwing. Sometimes a dude don't even be thinking like that, or he may approach a chick and he's like, you know, maybe she's cool. And she just, really, she just turns out, she just plays herself as a hoe, and you didn't even know that was going to be the outcome.
Yeah, I mean, we nowadays, they don't have anything else to approach us with. They're offering us sex and it ain't on our minds. But that's because they don't have anything else to offer us. That's dispiriting. I'm not even really worried about sex like that. Well, let's do it anyway. Wow, you ain't got very much to offer, do you?
Oh, yeah.
And you guys are acting. You're absolutely correct, because when my son, you know, I thought he was going to start sleeping with women, I sat down and I talked to him, and I said, you know, get to know a young lady. He asked her about herself. And he said, okay. About a month later, he said, forget it, mama. You ask a woman something, I want to know, why do you ask me all these questions? He said, if I say, when can I get it? It's on tonight. And I was embarrassed as a woman. And I didn't know what to say to my son after that. Do what you do then, son. You don't have no morals then. I didn't know what to say to him. I tried, mom. I tried to talk to him. You lied, would you? Nothing. Why are you asking me all that?
I'll let you have a last word, brother.
Well, I just want to say hopefully there's some type of remedy for our black women to try to uplift themselves. I enjoyed the Hollywood horror video. It's, man, I've been thinking that for so long. But, you know, Mona, Jason, you know, we're out here, we're listening. And, you know, I tried to spread y'all's message to as many young black women in my family as I can so they won't fall into that trap. And I try to tell them it's about value, not handing it out. Black first.
Black brother, thank you very much for joining us. I got people up all way early in the morning, Mona. I'm sadistic. I really am. Caller from the 480, you're on live with Black Gentleman.
I'm just listening, man.
Just listening, okay. Well, let me put him back down here then. I'm going to need some folk out there to get some high-speed internet service. Real talk, y'all. I understand some folks living in Arkansas, but high-speed internet is a must.
I want to ask you a question, Jason.
Who, me? You don't get to ask me questions. Caller 951, I pushed the button for a moment, decided she wanted to interrupt. She wanted to say anything before she starts in.
Just listening.
Okay, well, he's listening too also. Blog Talk is never going to get that number one option fixed. I am just giving on that. What was your question?
Okay, I want to know what your take on is this, on this, as far as church is concerned. When I was growing up, you knew a sanctified woman. You knew a religious woman. I don't go to church anymore, but we have a church on every block now, and those are supposed to be where these virgins are, where these virtuous women are. And I think the last time that I stepped in a church, the preacher said, you better wear your mini skirts. You better show your legs. You better show your cleavage. And I'm like, wait. So what's your take on where do you actually, as a man, find a good woman nowadays?
There is no specific location. I mean, that is the problem, is that it's not a school. Because there are, you said, where do you go to find a decent woman? Well, that starts with the assumption that there are any decent women left. I mean, numerically speaking, well, yeah, of course, it's mathematically impossible that all of them could not qualify, but the problem is we've crossed that 50% threshold, so what that means, what? You are more likely to find one who does not qualify than one who does. So there is no place where the ones who qualify congregate at. They're not at church, we all know that. Dancer ain't in school. I'm going to be a nurse. I'm going to get my degree. We all know how well of a vetting process that is. I mean, all those things being equal, you know that's not happening. They're not in college. They're not in the media. So the problem is, here's the problem. As a male, my guess would be as good as yours. I hope that what I attract here at the Black Channel is different. But the truth is, old standbys that we used to have are not there anymore. Hell, going to the library, first of all, if you can find a black female who does not work there. But even if you do, you know, she's just a civil servant. It's not like it's a really smart person or they're a student. And what I'm saying is that once again, you're right back where you started. Being a good test take does not make you wife material. That's the problem. I'm going to take one more call here, and then I'm going to see, because Muse is supposed to be on the line. I'm going to take one more call, though, before I get her. So just stay on the line for me, Muse. I'll be talking to you in a moment. Caller from 480, you're on live Black Channel.
Hey, what's up, Jason? I'm not Muse, if you're looking for Muse.
Yes, that's why I said I'm going to take one call before I take Muse. That's why I said that first.
Oh, my apologies, Jason. This is Chris calling from Phoenix. Just wanted to, I guess the problem with being in the middle of the bunch is that I think everything's been discussed. I would like to address this. I think that this idea that men pay attention to the body count, I think that's something that is done in other cultures. But because we're raised, too many black men are raised by single mothers who indoctrinate them into this cult of single motherhood worship. That doesn't matter so much for the average black dude. Because, you know, he comes from such bad stock that a lot of these raggedy, lousy women reflect his mother.
Well, yeah, that is true. I mean, that does reflect where he was raised. So, yeah, that's going to have a factor. But here's the problem. The problem is that single motherhood, the bastard baby age, the bastard baby era that we live in right now, has not diminished what men ultimately want. And as your sons move out of those housing projects and those abominable positions that you put them in and those abominable conditions, then what happens is that they start thinking like civilized men. And all of a sudden, mom's standards are not high enough anymore. That's what happens.
And let me ask you this, Jason. I was having this conversation with one of my buddies. And I've come to this conclusion. The worst thing on earth to be is an old woman. Does that ring true with you?
I think the worst thing on earth to be is a sick and dead woman. Okay, old. I hope it doesn't get that far along. What you're talking about is advantageous. Look, as we progress in life, we take on different roles. And I think that the only women who get unhappy as they get older are the ones who refuse to accept their position. These women out here trying to twerk with their 20-year-old daughters, that is a sad situation to be in. Because your 70-year-old men are not competing with their 25, 30-year-old sons.
Well, see, I think, my buddy, he kind of brought that to the light, but I was saying that when I say the worst thing to be is that even old men don't want an old woman. You understand what I'm saying? Because the way nature works is that an old man can, a lot of women have a price tag, so an old man will always have access to better stock of women because if he can afford it, whereas an old woman is doomed. No matter how much she cooks or cleans or whatever, how virtuous she is, somebody's going to roll off her and say, wow, you're old.
Okay, but to be totally honest with you there, that means she needs to be looking for someone who is in her state and in her condition. Where women usually fail at is that they're looking for somebody who's not in the same position as them. They go looking for a mismatch. White men face this a lot by refusing to accept, I call it the debutante disease. She's hot and sexy in high school and hot and sexy in college, hot and sexy right after that. And you can see these older white women in their 50s and stuff, and, you know, their breasts are not that big. Why are you wearing a neckline that plunges that low, ma'am? I mean, I can see your wrinkles. She has not accepted that it ain't what it used to be. That's why I call it the debutante disease. She remembers being a debutante. You have to accept that that's not you anymore. And women who suffer are the ones who refuse to accept the reality that you moved on. By having all these babies young in life instead of waiting is such a burden because your breasts, already gravity is already playing on. You have children, they fill up with milk, they expand. Now they are doing things at a much, much earlier age, and now they're going to be sagging at a much earlier age too. So she has the face of a 25-year-old, but you make her naked and has got the body of a 45-year-old. And every
you know what?
Right now tonight has had a situation where he was like, he yanked the curtain off and like, whoa, didn't know this was waiting. I didn't know you were an octogarian. Look it up. But my point is, you have to find somebody who's a match, not a mix. And the problem is too many women are living their life looking in the rear mirror instead of looking out the windshield.
Now, let me ask you this, because I know you got a plethora of calls. Now, in the case of, as far as culturally within the different races, you know, black and white, who, in your opinion, would have the better chances of finding a mate later on in life? Would it be the white woman who comes from a culture of high standard? You know, the white man ain't just taking, you know, any horse in the stable. Or versus the black woman who comes from a culture of, you know, a much loose standards, you know, because I know, I remember you said something a while ago, maybe it was in your previous shows, you said the reason why, I believe this was you, the reason why white women take white men for everything they got in divorce is because they know culturally that's all they have left, because white men don't raise other people's kids, you know, all that other stuff. Is she, Susan, doomed because she comes from, because in that high standard, that means she's kept herself up for the most part, you know, as far as her weight is in control, you know, she's age she can't run from, but her weight is something that she's paid close attention to versus the black woman who has ate and smoked and effed at midnight for the last 20 years of her life. Who you think has a better chance at salvation, I guess?
The white woman will have a better chance because she comes from a place where she understands that her value has dropped, whereas for black women, their value was already low to begin with, so hitting the floor isn't quite so far to fall. Yeah, you didn't think I was going to be able to come back with an answer that quickly. It's really actually rather fundamental. All right, what was it I was explaining to you all before about white women, as I explained this before, and I had to educate a lot of people. For white women, what happens is that white men are not going to accept raising another man's child so readily. So what a white woman understands that if she's dating, you know, vice president of the company, or she's dating a bank manager, or she's dating a lawyer, and he says, you know what, forget it, I'm done. I'm through with you. She realizes, what the hell? Yeah, I'm done with you. She knows what's about to happen. He's trading you in for a younger model. You see, I've got more upward mobility than I did when I first met you 10 years ago. I now have the power and the wealth to trade you in for another model. And now she realizes, I got to grab everything I can because my standard of living is about to take a fall off a cliff. What is the number one reason why women go into poverty? It's always been the same answer. Divorce. The number one reason that women go into poverty is divorce. That has always, and still is today, the number one reason women go into poverty. She has a man who makes a high income. She doesn't have to work, or if she does, her income not match his. He decides to trade her in for a new model. Welcome to food stamps. Now she's trying to figure out, okay, what do I do? What do I do? Ask Carla Maples. Donald Trump paid that $1 million lump sum. She tried to take it to court to challenge the prenuptial agreement that she herself signed. The judge said, dim's the brakes. You signed it. That's it. He has no problem with raising the children when she had them. None. Because he cashed you out. And guess what? He traded her in for what? A younger model. He traded in Ivana for a younger model, and traded in Marla for a younger model. That's what they do. And the women understand that. So, yeah, she's going to try to take you for as much as she can because she realizes the gravy train just derailed. So, yeah, she's got, because she realizes that in white society, a white man, and this is very, very key, very, very clear to brothers out there, listen to me very, very, very clearly right here. This is what you need to understand. As white men, they understand one fundamental truth black men do not, because black men have no self-esteem because of how they're raised. White men understand, I can do better. White men understand the concept of, as I get older, I'm supposed to be making more money, which means I can do better. That doesn't necessarily mean that you go out and do better. You may just keep old girl till y'all die. Who knows? But as white men, they understand, I got power and wealth. That means I have influence. Or let me use another word. I have power and wealth, which means I have options. I've got options. I don't have to sit here with you. I don't have to do this. I can leave. A white woman understands that if she's got kids, she's meeting another white man. What does that white man know? Baby, I'm doing you the favor of taking on you and the Brady Bunch. I'm doing you the favor. You're going to get flip at the mouth with me. I'm doing you the favor. Black men have been punked because black men are so weak, so pathetic and cowardly that we sat up here and let used cars sit up here and try to give us, make us give them a new car warranty. We let the baby mama sit up here and tell us that they are doing us a favor. Why? By letting me have sex with you.
Exactly.
She's doing me a favor. And the black men, that's that 20%. But the black men who understand their value and their worth ain't fall for that mess. He knows he's doing you the favor. And that's what all the wailing about today is from black females. Because they realize that the men, why one, it's slow, but it's working. They're waking up. And the men are realizing we have options. We have options. And we as black men, we were the last ones to the party because we were lied to. We were sold out down the river. In most cases, your own mothers were the ones selling you out in the single mother cult because she was protecting the next bastard baby maker, which is really kind of deep when you think about it. But that's the way it is. Eventually then smarten up and realize, what, I got options. I don't have to sit here with you. I can do better. I can do better. That's the difference. White men know they can do better from the time they leave high school. Black men don't figure out they can do better till their 30s. And hopefully they haven't racked up a baby mama or gotten shackled to one in the meantime.
Now, Jason, do you believe that that's how nature makes things even? Like a woman has, you know, in her youth and her beauty, she has all the power in the world, all the power to reject. And on the flip side, you know, a man doesn't hit his stride until much later, and it's reversed. Because time is, you know, is a woman's enemy. And in most instances, time is a man's friend. You think that plays anything to do, or is that just, you know, something fanciful?
It's not nature that does that. It's society, social customs that have done that. It's society and social customs that have done that. Because human beings are the only animals that can ascribe meaning to things. That's why we eat and dance with utensils. That's why.
Now, before
we go here, because I don't want people to get cold feet on us here.
Okay.
Hello, Muse.
Hi. Nice to talk to you.
Now, I'm not
again.
Going to make it that easy for you.
Oh, gosh.
Now, we'll come back to Chris here in just a moment. You have a question for me.
Yeah, I asked in the room, what's the incentive a guy has to make a woman he's seen from girlfriend to wife? Because, I don't know, it seems like a lot of mixed messages are being said in just society in large about what guys are looking for and what plays out in life. because a little bit of the conversation I had, I caught with you and Stephanie, she does seem like a very sweet girl, and I'm sure she's not, you know, doing anything crazy, and she's having trouble finding a guy. Yet you hear a lot of men saying they want women like her who are demure. And
Okay, let me cut you off here. Because you didn't fully say the story. You said because she seemed like a nice girl and everything, and guy, they want a girl like that. Wait a minute. What good is having a nice girl if she will not talk to you?
I mean, maybe she's shy and introverted. I mean, I would
okay, but he has lived with shy and introverted. And you didn't take any accounting for that. Now, if you woke tomorrow and your vocal cords went out and you went mute, that's one thing. But it's another thing when this person's with you and has zero to say to you. At how long are you going to be able to hold a relationship like that? That's the problem. So you didn't even mention that. It's not a matter of her being shy. We can come up with all the rationales we want to. At the end of the day, you're asking a man to commit to shy and introverted. Tell me who's lying to do that.
Technically no one, but on the same token, I don't know. I think sometimes people need a chance to open up. I'm not an introverted person at all, so I don't struggle with that issue, but I have friends who are, and it's kind of sad to see sometimes with them not being able to get a fair chance in the dating realm because they have a difficult time not relating, but bonding with people, because I think a lot of individuals in society, if they see an introverted person, they don't know how to deal with them, or they assume the person has an attitude, or they don't have any social skills. And a lot of times they do. You just need to get to know them and understand,
wait a minute.
You know.
Now, come on now. Mona Chris, I mean, she just contradicted herself. They're an introverted person, but they have social skills. Huh?
I mean,
how can you be an introvert with social skills?
Well,
that's like being
an introvert
jerk.
An introvert can have social skills. It's just more of how they process information, how they interact with people in general. You know, extroverted people, they get energy from being around a lot of people, and they can work a room. An introvert person does better on one-on-one, you know, interaction.
Okay, they got to get into the interaction first. Can you help us with that part of they have to get into the interaction first? Everything you just said was predicated upon somebody else dragging it and pulling it and reeling it out of them.
But here's the deal, though. From a female perspective, isn't it the man? I'm a little traditional in this sense, but isn't it
okay,
a man's
your
job?
Phone volume is going in and out, so I don't know if you're on speaker or not, but you need to hold your phone closer because your phone volume keeps going up and down. That tells me you're holding it at different distances.
Oh, I'm sorry. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so I'm a little traditional in this aspect. Isn't it the man's job to pursue the woman and get to know her interests, and she reciprocates and shows her interest by, you know, being responsive, of course. So if the woman's introvert, I feel like being an introvert as a man is just not advantageous, because my belief, and of course people are more than welcome to disagree with me, is that the man should be pursuing, you know. But I think the mentality these days, from my perspective, is a lot of guys expect the girls to court them. And so maybe it's just an issue in my generation, but...
But there is a difference between pursuing a woman and waiting for a woman to come out of her shell. There's a difference between pursuing someone and fishing for someone.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I guess if a guy, if a
I mean, wait a minute, can you respond to what I just said, though? Let's not walk past that. Because then we're just talking past each other. If you're saying something, I respond to it, and then I say something, and you don't respond to it, we're not conversing at the point.
Okay.
There is a difference between
pursuing
someone and waiting for someone to come out of their shell. We can't sit here and pretend that the both of those are the same thing, because they're not. They're two different things.
But isn't one required for the other? I mean, if you're not pursuing the woman, why should she come out of her shell? I mean, a lot of women have...
Pursuing a person in a shell is not available to be pursued. That's like you go into your house. If I go up to a woman's house and knock on the door and she opens the door, what am I doing? I'm pursuing her. Now, if I go up to a woman's house, knock on the door, and she never opens the door, is that pursuit?
No, of course not. I mean, she has to be receptive.
That's solicitation. So what I'm saying is that if she never comes out of her shell, she is never available to be pursued. When I came out of the house, miss my point. If I talk to you and it is a struggle to get you to open up about yourself or to even respond to me, if everything is in two-word answers, guess what? You're not giving me the ability to pursue you because I'm not investigating anything. I'm getting one- and two-word answers. So what do you like doing? Lots of stuff. Okay.
what do you like?
What do you like watching? What movies do you like watching? Not many. Okay. What was the best book you read last time? What was the last good book you read? I don't like books. You see, she is responding to my questions. She is not engaging me. Now, let me give you an example of engaging, okay? Because I want everybody to be clear on this, and I'm just giving you one example. Here is an example of engaging, and compare it to what just happened, and then tell you if an introvert has social skills. What was the last good book you read? I don't really read books. You like reading books?
There you go.
Now, did you see just how quickly that turned?
Yes.
There you go.
Now, do you know, remember what I said to Steph before about finding common points of interest?
Yes.
Look how quickly that changed right there. An introvert is doing the first thing. An engaging person is doing the second. I'm not asking you to give me the Ginsburg address. I'm simply saying acknowledge I'm talking to you. And that does not mean standing there with a sheepish grin and responding as I formally interrogate you about your life. I'm showing interest in you. Why are you not showing interest in me?
There's
levels to this stuff. There's levels to this stuff.
That is true. It's just, you know, sometimes dating, I'm not trying to make excuses. It's just not everyone has the same level of social skills. I will definitely admit that. And sometimes a lot of nice girls do get passed up because they don't know how to interact with the opposite sex. And just from a woman's perspective and talking to other female, well, who have friends who are introverts, sometimes they do give those one-word responses because they are nervous and they are interested in a guy or they're afraid of saying something dumb. I'm not trying to make excuses. It's just the reality that, like I said, some nice girls do get passed up because they're introverted and they don't have the social skills. And it's not as easy to just, you know, pop up and say, okay, I'm going to start going out and try to mingle. I mean, it does take a mature person. I hope the young lady who called in earlier, you know, takes your advice and gets out there. But I feel like if I was a man, obviously I'm not, but if I was, I'd rather deal with an introvert person who, you know, has some social challenges, but they're kind and, you know, they're understanding versus some of the ratchet I see guys
that don't talk to you. They're kind and everything else, and she's a good cook, but he doesn't talk to you.
But, you know, some guys complain that women talk too much anyway.
Okay, but there's a difference between she talks too much and she doesn't talk to me. You can keep dancing all you want to. That's fine. You are not going to be able to spit shine and vomit. I don't care how clean your brush is and how new your wax is. You can't spit shine. You cannot polish vomit. At the end of the day, she's not talking to you. And what will happen is the first female who he meets who don't do that mess, guess whose house he's over at? So
ratchet.
You keep trying
just
to read. You keep trying to redefine it. Okay, now what did you just say?
I said the ratchet as a joke.
Okay.
Without
well, that's,
not,
yeah. That's not a good joke either, by the way. Because as adults, we have to talk about these things in sensible terms, not pejorative terms. It doesn't help anybody. What you said before about a female who's an introvert has a hard time. Wait a minute. No, that's not true. Any person who is introverted is going to have a hard time communicating because by definition, introvert means they do not communicate. It's not specific to women, and it's not limited and relegated to women only.
Mm-hmm.
It's not
relegated. Yeah, so that's definitely true.
If a man approaches you, he is showing interest. What he is looking for is you to reciprocate. Is what lets him know you are worthy of pursuing further. What you're saying is let's remove reciprocation and the man make all the moves. That is a formula for staying single into the nursing home. A lot of introverts there, too. That's where old introverts go. You can't sit here and say, I want men, but I want to remove the reciprocation factor. Let the guy do everything. Because everything you said on this phone, in case you didn't notice, everything you said went back to, well, why don't the men? Why doesn't the man approach her? Why doesn't the man give her more time? Don't the men say that we talk too much? Did you notice that you did that?
I did.
And this is why they call me, well, you know, rest. But my point is that kind of disposition, that formula for staying single. No wonder men's behavior is so simplifying to you. Because you're coming at this from the position of my hands out. Why come the men aren't just bowing down to me? I did a video about why nerds versus thugs. You all can go look it up on YouTube. Rather monumental, if I say so myself. And it talks about how thugs usually outdo nerds because nerds don't develop social skills early in life.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? Same thing goes for females. It's not ratchets are so much this or that. It's that just like pimps, a ratchet will walk up and start a conversation with anybody, even if she doesn't belong there. Guess what? She wins by default because by definition, you cannot win a race when you never left the starting block. By definition, you can't win. A race can only be won by the people who ran to the finish line. You can't win by sitting on the starting block and saying, don't I get points for desire, not even effort. Well, I want to win, but you never left the starting block. But shouldn't I get points for how much I wanted to win this? No, not really.
From that perspective, because I know I went, especially in my 20s, I was focused on my books and work and just, you know, hanging out with friends. So I didn't really, approach guys. It kind of just happened through introductions from friends and stuff. So I'm not exactly the expert on approaching men just because I'm personally uncomfortable doing it. I don't like to do it just because I figure, like you said, if a man's interested, he'll come up to you. And if he doesn't come up to you, then that means he's not interested.
There are different types of interest. There's no singular type of interest. There are different types of interest. You can't just sit there looking for a magic bullet. Go ahead, Mona.
Just want to say this. Men show a strong side, but men want their ego stroked. They want to be desired. They want, you know, to be engaged. They want to be admired.
Yes.
They want that. They may play like they don't, but they do. They want to say, you know, hey, babe, what would I do without you? You know, thank you for taking out the trash. You know, they want that. And when you think about it, when you say going to a ratchet, they don't go to a ratchet because basically just for sex. If you're in a relationship and your woman is not engaging you and giving you that long kiss, and when you go outside and a woman says, you smell good today. Oh, you look nice today. And they're not getting that. Men want that too. Just like we want it, they want it too. And we get that as women. We got to stop with the me, you know, for me, why can't he do this? He wants that as well.
It's amazing how black women will put more effort into engaging their white boss. Oh, I'm sorry, did I go there? It's amazing how black women will put more effort into learning how to engage their white boss than they will in their black boyfriend or husband. Isn't that interesting? You never hear the white boss complaining that the black women are not engaging enough. I've never, ever heard that. I've worked for some of the big corporations on this planet. I've never heard it and never seen it. Even the most introverted black chick will sit there, giggle, and laugh and flirt with him. Black male walks up, and so she's still smiling and introverted, but she ain't talking to him. Isn't it amazing?
Do you think that might be tied into a respect issue? Because I'll put myself out there. I know before my current relationship, I wasn't mean or anything, but I didn't really stroke his ego. I was kind of neutral and just going with the flow. And so just getting feedback from ex-boyfriends after, you know, I grew up a little bit and just kind of asked them, you know, what went wrong in our relationship, because nothing really happened. It just sort of ended. Well, I usually ended them, but they started, you know, emotionally detaching. And so for me, I was like, okay, he doesn't like me anymore. It's over. But just kind of going back, some of my exes did mention, you know, I didn't feel like you wanted me in terms of I didn't get enough compliments. And at first I was a little defensive, like, oh, what do you mean compliments? You're a man. You know, you're doing what you're supposed to do. Because I grew up in a household where my dad was like, you don't get credit for things you're supposed to do, you know? And so that's how, like, if I brought home an A, it wasn't like, oh, a big celebration, you're supposed to get A's. You're supposed to clean your room. And that's fine. I don't have issues about that because I agree. Classes from childhood or whatnot. But the ego stroke, I mean, on one hand, I understand it and I get what Mona is saying, and she's totally right. I agree with her from a logical perspective. But sometimes when you're in it, it just, I don't know. So unless something really impresses me, I'm not going to really say anything about it.
Here's the problem. The problem is it's not about ego stroking. That's that unfortunate word. It's about nurturing.
Right.
A woman is supposed to be nurturing. What does nurturing mean? Concerned. And what you're saying is, well, I wasn't very concerned today. Why not? Well, it wasn't like he had a gunshot wound or anything. Too many black women are completely and totally lacking any type of nurturing skills. And let me just tell you something right now, okay? Let me tell you some news, and I mean the way I'm about to say this. Nobody cares about your crappy home life. A man does not care that your mama didn't teach these things. He doesn't give a damn. Because now he's got to live with the result of that. He's going to find somebody who does. Now you can sit there and wallow in your beer. And, well, I didn't get this and didn't get that. It's the same thing that I do to these black males. Don't want to change a tire. Don't want to do no brakes. Understand something. TBA with his glasses, I can pull your chick today. All I need is a heifer to get a flat tire. I will pull that shit today. Dude, you don't understand. You don't understand. You ain't picking up what I'm putting down. If I want to take your broad, all I got to do is put a sock in your toilet.
Oh, my goodness.
All I got to do is put a sock down your toilet, and I got your broad. I'm not bull jobbing right now. This isn't even black authority. You're joking. I got your chick. Understand me. I got her right now. Because all she's going to remember is that the both of you, I was sitting there working that toilet, and the both of you were sitting there like hoes. Both of you sitting there helping. That's all she's going to remember is you were both sitting there helpless with you sitting up here texting me on your phone.
Dude, like I said,
she needs her toilet fixed. She don't need a professional texter. She needs her toilet fixed. All of a sudden, all that bling bling and bedazzle and all that skinny jean stuff, all of a sudden she realizes, oh, there's more to a man than that. Like I said, the first time a dude actually shows what a man is supposed to be doing, she's going to remember that. She's going to remember that her car needed something relatively simple and you couldn't do it. That's all she's going to remember. And guess what? Now she's thinking, well, hell, I can do better. And you can sit up here and tell her, well, I bought you shoes. Well, How you going better than me? I bought you shoes. He can fix the toilet.
Yeah.
I bet you I can do better if the toilet gets stopped up again. I bet I can do better then. I bet you I got that covered.
And the reverse is true for women. I definitely hear what you're saying. Like I said, it was past relationships when, you know, I was younger and I wasn't exactly sure. Like I said, I went through an awkward stage and wasn't – that's why I sympathize with the, you know, introvert. I wasn't an introvert exactly, but I didn't have a lot of experience with guys and, you know, interacting with them on a romantic level. So
you do not want a young man. You don't want a young man who is a maintenance worker at a house, at a housing project or an apartment complex.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want a young fella. You want some old dude. Because if it's a young fella, oh, please. I will never forget the time. It was one time living in this damn at this apartment complex, and I was like, okay, will someone please explain to me why this man has showed up at my apartment wearing cologne? You're supposed to be here about that damn leak in the shower. You're not supposed... How is this conducive? I don't understand. How's the aquadigio conducive to working on this? Either you aren't planning on doing very much work, or it's not the shower you were hoping to see. And I'm getting ready to leave, so it ain't me. So, what's about to go down is what I'm trying to figure out. But what I'm saying is that understand, even they know the game, and I'm just saying all this because I want people to start being aware. I want people to start being aware that you've got options, but you don't have options if you didn't bring them to the table. You have to earn the right to have options. Options are not a divine right. Options are something that you earn through your character and your characteristics. It's not a divine right. There's no in the Constitution that guarantees you options. And as a woman, you have to bring assets to the table. And unfortunately, most females think that the only two assets a woman can bring is a sexy body and sex.
Yeah,
and what
that's
they don't
really
realize that you most females are getting their asses kicked at things that have nothing to do with sex. Nothing at all. They perfected their sex game and can't keep a man with handcuffs and ankle irons.
Well, I'm not trying to be vulgar, but vagina is nothing unique about it. So I definitely agree with you that you have to bring other things to the table to even compete.
You can't tell them that. When all you have in your toolbox is a hammer, everything gets treated like a nail. A woman has talent.
Oh, gosh.
A woman who has talent does not put all of her worth and all of her effort into perfecting vagina game. A woman who has self-worth and knows what she's worth affects other things. Most females do not. We got 40 and 50-year-old black women trying to chase 20-year-old black men. Why? Because those males have not learned to value something other than sex yet. Maybe I can grab him because the older dudes, they want you to bring something else to the table. Real talk. Because he knows he can do better. They're trying to catch a young dude who doesn't know that he can do better yet. That's why I explained about the ages earlier. We don't figure it out usually as black men until 30. So what are they doing to try and catch a 20-year-old before he can figure out what he's really got and what he's worth? Let me see if I can shackle him and attach myself to him before he figures out how valuable he really is. And let me make him think that I am doing him the favor by having sex with him, when in reality, he is doing me the favor. Oh, yeah, I'm telling all the secrets tonight.
Oh, apparently. I'm sorry. Somebody's talking. Let me quiet.
I apologize. I was just going to concur with that because it wasn't until, you know, I got older that I started to look for other qualities in a woman other than her body. You know, when I was young and before I was married, all I was trying to do was see how good you were at getting me off. And as I got older, you know, that's still a big chunk of the pie. But if you can't read and write, and you know, you can't make something from scratch, you know, that's a disqualifier. That's a deal breaker. So, yeah, Jason, right now, one, he's being too real for it to be 12 o'clock in Phoenix. You know, I wasn't expecting this much
honesty
at midnight. Dude, 2:20
in the morning. It's 2:20 a.m. in Louisiana.
Yeah. You're keeping it too real too late.
Hell, it's been so late early now.
It's morning time over there.
It's been so late early now. Hell, I got folk right here going to file the divorce papers in a few hours after the tonight's broadcast. You know what? I was listening to this guy like authority. I could do better than you. You tell Tyrone to come change the tires.
So, Jason, my question is, in light of everything you just said, speaking about a quality man who has his stuff together, what do you need to, as a woman, present to the table to have him upgrade you from girlfriend status to wife status?
Now, that is a frightening question that you just asked, because you asked that in the chat room earlier, and I have to tell do you know how frightening this is right now that you even had to ask that?
Well, I mean, I have my
idea. I'm not
picking
up on you.
But...
No, I want people to be honest. We need to finally have an honest conversation, because we need to find out where ground zero really is in black society. We have to find out where ground zero is, because we just assume that females know you ain't supposed to sleep half the block. And there's a bunch of females out here like, I'm not. No, dude, you're not supposed to sleep with. Are you serious?
Well, I don't, for me,
mama did it.
For me, I mean, it's fine,
but here's answering your question, though. I'm saying that first. I want people to understand. That's frightening that people even have to ask that. Here's the second problem.
It is frightening, but,
here's the second problem. The problem is, how old are you? I'm not asking that for a maturity. I'm mocking you. I'm just saying I want to find out how old you are.
Yeah, I'm 31.
You're 21.
No, 31 with a 3.
30. Oh, okay. You're 31.
Don't say old now, like that. I'm enjoying myself. Gosh,
okay,
I'm not falling off the wagon yet.
You're 31 years old. But let me ask you here. At 31, you're not a spring chicken. At 31, do you think, before I answer your question, what do you think makes a woman wife material?
Someone who wants to build a legacy, someone who's intelligent, someone who knows how, some domestic skills, because someone did mention that a lot of women don't know how to cook, which is kind of embarrassing. I think every adult should know how to cook. So someone who makes his life better overall. Her presence makes his life an upgrade, if anything. Her presence inspires him. Someone who's not going to bring shame to his family name. Maybe those are fairy tale fantasies, but that's what, you know, I was taught growing up. Someone, you're a woman of value. You contribute to his legacy building, whatever that may be. You're an asset. And definitely someone who's not sleeping around, just because there's actual studies, empirical studies that show that women who've had a certain amount of sexual partners have issues bonding with their husbands, apparently. So, yeah, that's just from us.
Yes. The reason for that, though, is that if you are used to having sex with a whole bunch of people, then you've crossed a psychological boundary. You've crossed
and you actually
a psychological
also release
bullet.
Less oxytocin.
Well, all that aside,
I know,
you know,
not to be dorky,
you have crossed a psychological boundary that your body is comfortable with a lot of people touching it. And once you get used to a lot of people touching your body, it's... the act is no longer special to you, no longer sacred. And that's why a female who's been with a bunch of dudes, you're better off leaving her where she is, because sex is not special to her. And if sex is not special to her, you are fooling yourself by telling yourself that it will be special with you. There's nothing special about it to her. This is just what grown folks do, or teenagers in her case. Oh, well.
Yeah, no, I've had guy friends.
Wasn't
yeah,
hurting for it when I met you, and I won't be hurting for it when you leave. That's the way it should be. So, That's why it doesn't work.
Jason, what do you think about, like, a woman can be, the lady can be sexed out of her to where she has seen so many penises that she herself has a penis sex drive or the fear of a penis, you know, isn't there?
What?
No. He's saying is that a woman is not supposed to be sitting up when a man drops trowel and be like, okay, ho-hum, like porn star.
Definitely.
You have too many females have the sensibilities of porn star. And that's
fear of the penis?
That is not what a man marries. A man marries a woman who's like, oh, that awkward. And they've missed that naivete, that innocence that he's talking about. We got too many females who've had that just bludgeoned, if I can use that term, out of them.
Oh, my Jesus.
it's gone now. And that ladylike demeanor that says, no, that I'm a lady, I still do that. Man, you can have these females in the back of a car, on a trash dumpster, on a daycare, or in the church. I mean, they have no boundaries. And because of that, there's nothing in their mind that says not appropriate. Always Miller time, you know.
Do you think some women could put men in a trick bag, though? Because I used to be friends with this girl, and we're no longer friends, but she slept around a lot of guys, just did some real scandalous things, and now, you know, she has a boyfriend and stuff that's probably going to lead to marriage or whatnot. I don't know if they're still together or not, but I'm assuming they are. And she's putting on a really good act with this person, and he's oblivious to that's probably one of the reasons why we're not friends, because I just lost respect for her, and I can't be friends with anyone I don't respect.
Wait a minute, she's putting on what act?
Being, you know, the good church girl, you know, I'm this feminine, awesome woman of God, and it's kind of, some of us are snickering just because.
That's where she's at. That's got nothing to do where she's been.
Every
man knows that. He's being as faithful as his options, as Chris used to say. So,
but yeah, the reason I asked that, because the other cause, Chris, you're still on the phone. You mentioned something about penis fear, or you made some analogy to porn stars. So my question is, you just said, Jason, that, you know, that's where she's at right now, which is fine. You know, if that's where she is, that's great. But on the other hand, you guys mentioned that a woman's past is relevant. So I guess my question is, if her past is irrelevant and it will impact her, I guess, her sexuality with her husband, but, I mean, does that exclude the fact that she could be a changed person? I mean,
okay,
we're
not going to answer that question right now, because you kind of hopped all over the place.
Okay.
Yeah, you've asked 3 or 4 questions, and I didn't even answer the last one. You've already moved on. And what happened is she would get off the phone with me and say, he's not very smart. I asked him what makes you go from wife to a girlfriend, and he couldn't answer my question. You're dumb. What kind of authority is he supposed to be? Well, I mean, I asked you a question, and I said, I'll come to it, and then I didn't even come back to it. You moved on to 2 other things. So I'm like, we'll talk about oblivious. Just
my apologies.
Finger,
I'll stay in focus.
And we point
I'm
one finger, we got at least 3 pointing back at us. So, but back to the girlfriend wife thing, because I'd like to answer your question.
Okay.
The problem is that black females today, all the things you mentioned, you didn't mention values. A woman is supposed to carry the values of a people, the values that we will instill in the children, the things that are important to us, the things that we think are important, our values. That's what you're supposed to instill to children. And that didn't happen. That is not what occurred. So first and foremost, a man did not leave you because you couldn't cook. That was damned annoying. But that wasn't why he left you. You said she should be sleeping around. Yeah, that's an important thing. But if she does not understand the reason why she shouldn't be sleeping with a bunch of people, then it doesn't matter if she slept with one person or 100. She doesn't know why you shouldn't do this. She only slept with one person because she kept getting grabbed every weekend. Otherwise, she'd have slept 400. She doesn't know why. It's like a dog. It's like dealing with a duck. They just follow their nose. That is the reason that he divorced you. Because she was intelligent. I think we need to define what intelligence means. Can you tell me what intelligence is?
Oh, that's not a rhetorical question? I mean, I think intelligence has to do with it. Okay, well, intelligence has to do with your ability to think through problems, critical thinking, someone who's learned, someone who seeks out knowledge, someone who's invested.
Give me the Merriam-Webster Dictionary definition. That is not a definition that is practical to be used in life, though. And that's not going to matter to a man. What is intelligence? Anybody on this phone, can you define for me what practical intelligence is?
Practical intelligence, would it be problem solving?
Yes and no, but unfortunately
that's what I said earlier.
Okay, let me say this one more time because you don't listen very well before you jump in there. Yes and no, but for the purposes of my asking that question, no. It is problem-solving, but problem-solving is not going to keep your husband with you, and it's not going to make a man interested in you either. I will give you one hint, and then I'm going to answer the question. Think back on Stephanie. Think back to Stephanie.
Self-awareness and communication.
Think back to Stephanie and engagement, and when I gave you the example, Muse, of what engagement was. Think about that for just a moment.
Going the extra mile?
Well, being able to interact and reciprocate.
Just out of curiosity, is Mona still on the line?
Yep, listening.
Oh, okay. I thought you were falling asleep over there. I was about to say, look here, I didn't have one this week.
I'm actually listening.
You were about to make my highlight reel. I'm going to put together a highlight reel eventually, as a matter of fact. So you were about to make it, let me tell you. You were about to make it. First of all, let's understand something, people, because you're going through life the wrong way, in a way that is not practical. Something cannot be put into practice. Intelligence is a relative thing. That is why the dictionary definition does not apply if we're talking about becoming somebody's wife. Intelligence is relative. What does it mean? That means the target moves. And you go in with Webster's Dictionary, that's meant to be a static thing. It doesn't move. Well, guess what? Intelligence in the context of getting a husband, or a wife for that matter, is relative. It moves. What do you mean? How many people on this phone got cell phones? Everybody does. How well can you work your cell phone? I think all of you can work your cell phone pretty well. If you don't, you idiot. You need to sell the damn thing, go back to pay phones and use the house phone. All right, you can work your cell phone pretty well. Does that make you intelligent?
No.
Mona?
Yes.
It makes you intelligent? I forgot you live in Compton. All right, Chris?
I'm going to say that if something foreign is introduced to you and you can master it, I think that's a form
Chris,
of intelligence.
I asked you a simple question. You know how to work your cell phone. Does that make you intelligent that you know how to, that you mastered your iPhone?
You're forcing me to say no.
I'm not forcing you to anything. I'm just asking a question. Because intelligence is a relative thing.
Yeah,
now,
I want to say yes. I think
everybody on this phone has mastered their cell phones. But yet when I ask you, does that make you intelligent, you say no. Why? Because we have over 150 million cell phones in this country. It is a common skill. Now, Chris, since he's not a lady, has just booked a flight on Pan Am 530. Don't ask me how he got on Pan Am flight, but trust me, he's on it. And somewhere out over the Bermuda Triangle, the plane goes down just like an episode of Lost. Chris is stuck on the island with a bunch of bone-no-wearing natives. but it's nighttime, and Chris has cell phone. Now, Chris, are you intelligent?
Yeah, because I would trade that phone for a pig.
Well, the real thing is, think about the value versus livestock. What I mean is that, are you intelligent now that you're on this island with a cell phone? Yes. You are the smartest person on the island. You are the most technologically advanced person on the island. What does that tell us? Intelligence is relative. It's relative to who you're speaking to. I think I know, I'm not an idiot about astrophysics, and I understand some parts of quantum mechanics, but I don't think that me and Professor Stephen Hawking could have a conversation about anything. The first turn he made, he would lose me. I don't care how smart I am. He might make it, I might be able to hang with him for two turns, but that third turn, I'm lost. What does that tell you? Now, I'm not a dummy in the grand scheme of things, but what that means is your intelligence is only relative to the person that you're speaking to. It's relative to the intelligence of the person that you're speaking to. So what that means is that intelligent means how smart or how much smarter than the person you're speaking to are you.
But doesn't intelligence also have to deal with mastery of a certain subject? Because while Stephen Hawking is an expert in astrophysics, he may not be an expert in history or math. Well,
okay, but that's a fallacy. That is a fallacy because, remember, we're not trying to get a college transcript. We're trying to get a husband.
Mm-hmm.
So your mastery of accounting and advanced trigonometry is going to do what to get that man to ask you to marry you?
Nothing.
Why? Because he don't care about trigonometry. He likes football. He likes Game of Thrones. He likes the History Channel. He likes science. He likes music. You see what I mean now?
Mm-hmm.
We have a mismatch. We do not have a common area of interest that you know about. Now, if he likes music and you can play four instruments, well, guess what? You just became the hottest thing going. I don't care how sexy Susie can wear that dress. Susie cannot tell us about Michael Jackson, Earth, Wind, and Fire, and Billy Joel. Guess who's going to win this race? I don't care how many degrees in algebra and calculus she has. She's lost. Because her intelligence is only relative to the person that she's speaking to. It's not just a matter of, do I know more things? Do I know more about something that you actually care about? Intelligence is relative. Now, hopefully you will meet somebody who knows a lot about the stuff, if you know a lot about the stuff. But this is the real world. It don't work that way now, does it?
Well, I am seeing someone now, and the relationship easy is everything just flowing nicely just because I can be myself. I feel comfortable, which is being in my own skin. I don't have to adapt to anyone because I know in my past relationships I was always trying to adapt to that person, and I was unhappy, to be quite honest, and that's probably, you know, caused me to withdraw a little bit because I didn't feel like I was being, you know, authentic to who I am. So, you know, the current relationship I'm in now, the guy, you know, it, I'm excited about it because it seems, you know, it seems real. I'm comfortable, and I can be all nerdy and awkward, and he thinks it's adorable. So I definitely get
that's
what you're
fine.
Saying. Is
I mean, there's, I'm not saying that that's a problem either. What I am saying mm-hmm. is that intelligence is relative. First of all, intelligence is relative to whether or not you have equal or greater intelligence than the person that you are trying to appeal to. Because a 10th grader has more intelligence than a 1st grader, but a college grad has more intelligence than a 10th grader. Does that mean that you have 10th grade level of education that you can get a husband? Well, if your husband operates at the 10th grade level, yes. Yes, you can. What if you're talking to somebody who's on a postgraduate level? Oh, awkward. That's why I went through that explanation for you. It's the two factors. It is relative to how intelligent you are relative to them, and whether or not the things that you are intelligent about even matter to them. Hopefully you have a person who loves to learn, but that's not guaranteed. If you have that, we can roll. If you don't, this is going to be a rough ride. Somebody's going to wind up cheating on somebody before this thing is over, because you're a mismatch. You're trying to force each other together, and it doesn't work that way. That's why I went through that explanation to say, now we can start talking about intelligence in the context of wife material. Ooh, but authority, this got complicated quickly. This is why he left you. Nobody wanted to sit down and find this out before we started talking to him. You figured for all the stuff I don't know, I can just bull-jive my way through it and bluff my way through it, and it doesn't work that way. Eventually, he's going to realize, you know what? You and me don't actually talk about anything. And he's going to have that night where it's you down, and he's going to demand that the two of you have a touching, stimulating, deep conversation about something. And when you fail that test, your number is going to start looking pretty good. And not because he wanted to. Now, that goes for females too, by the way. Mm-hmm. Not because she necessarily wanted to. And when I'm saying that, we go out there with a lot of mismatches and a lot of contrived ideas about what people actually want instead of actually finding out what they want. No man is impressed by your intelligence at a fifth grade level. He will be impressed somewhere around 12 to bachelor's degree. Somewhere in there, he will be impressed. If you did not present that, guess what? He's not impressed. Most black women approach black men today talking about intelligence when in fact they're looking at their ninth grade report cards. Talking about I'm smart.
Oh.
But that is what happens. I cannot tell you how many boneheads I have met in my life. Black females who assured me they were intelligent didn't make it past the first round. Hell, didn't make it past the first minute of the first round. And not because I hit them with something super intellectual either. Not because of that. It not anything at all having to do with that. There was no cheating and no chicanery. Now that we've honed down intelligence, can you tell me what values are?
I think it's related to morals and character and how you approach a situation and the type of decision you make when, you know, I guess making the choice whether or not to steal is a moral character issue, or, you know, wake up in time and take care of yourself. I mean, it's multifaceted, you know. It's your foundation, what your beliefs are.
Okay. Now, you had answered the question before, actually, to believe it or not. You had actually already answered it before when you were speaking before about values. You had actually answered the question before when you said it's what you pass on and what your legacy is. Do I want legacy?
That's part of your values.
No, it's everything. Oh, it's everything. Reading, writing, arithmetic. Those aren't just skills. Those are values. That we live in a society that understands the value of being able to count, because people who can count have more mastery of the universe than people who cannot. Legacy is all those things. We have sat up here and tried to compartmentalize them, and you cannot do that. Legacy is all those things.
I
all
agree.
Those things.
It's basically what you pass down to your descendants and what you build on. And I don't think people think about legacy building when they get into relationships.
Well, I mean, we also don't understand what legacy is. Your mom not being the project hoe is a legacy. And the fact that she was, guess what? That was not just her values. That was her legacy.
Uh-huh.
They are both one and the same. that your mama didn't cook for your dad, that's a legacy. Because now you don't, she didn't cook for you and didn't cook for her kids. That's a value. And let me say, Mona is a mother. Could you imagine, Mona, at 54 years old, your children, if they told you that all your home meals were made by your sister or your neighbor, that when they sit down talking about sitting at the kitchen table eating a home-cooked meal, that they were talking about some other woman.
Right.
That would be an affront to your womanhood. That would be an affront to you as a woman. My children, in their minds, when they think about having a meal, they are thinking about some other woman. That's doing like cheating.
Right.
But guess what? That's the value. We've taken away the pricelessness of those things. We've taken away the value. Some of those things that you think of mundanities, let me tell you, your man remembers it. Let me tell you.
All kinds of,
Your man remembers not you cooked. He remembers what you cooked and how well you did it.
Mm-hmm.
Because that tells him how concerned you are about him. Flip side, your woman remembers if you could the toilet and how well you did. She can remember if you could change her tire and how well you did it. She remembers if you fix on her car and how well you did it, because that told her how much she meant to you.
And it's really interesting, because in everyday society, we don't even think about the little things that we do to show appreciation, like the cooking or, you know, changing a tire. And in fact, I mean, they're so rare nowadays that people don't even bother, which is kind of sad.
Well, what I'm coming through, though, is that to become wife material, all those things matter. And it's not like there's a great long list. What I'm saying is that black women as a group do not value any of those things. Does a man care if his girl, if you are a girlfriend, and he has every intention of leaving the girlfriend, side piece, jump off, ever. Why did he decide to do that? Well, if he tells you it's your sexual history, then understand that was the values that were missing. If he tells you it's because we couldn't talk, that was the engaging and nurturing that was in. If he tells you it's because he felt like he was talking to a four-year-old and not a woman, that was the intelligence that was missing. We talk about adult things.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you all a true story. Absolutely true story that I'm about to tell you all right now. I'm not joking. Had one girlfriend. I wound up leaving her in a very, very short amount of time. Very short. Because we had sat down and I asked her out. I want to say I asked her about Malcolm, who I want to say I asked her about. She only said like one or two sentences, and that was it, and just some generic stuff. Back to the innings necessary thing. And then just as a test, 2 minutes later, I asked her about SpongeBob SquarePants. She goes on for 19 minutes. I remember it to this day. 19
How old was
minutes.
She?
She was. I don't really. I have the answer. I'm like, I'll be convicting myself if I say it. I will simply say that. Let's just say I was like 25 and she was like old to be my mom. Let's just say it like that.
Interesting.
And she sat there for 19 minutes prattling on about SpongeBob, Patrick, Krusty, Krab, somebody kill me.
I don't know what you're talking about, but.
Do you all know that night, and I mean every man knows, I mean some women do, but when she did that, when that happened, I emotionally and mentally stepped away from her. I feel myself in my mind taking 3 steps back from her when that happened. Don't you know that you just fatally wounded our relationship, period? I don't think we'd even call this a relationship anymore. Just one conversation, that one conversation told me everything. Now, I can accept what I just heard, or I can try to live in denial and try to spit, shine, bomb. But that, at that point, she's not fooling me anymore, and she's not taking advantage of me. At that point, I may take advantage of myself. At that point. So what I'm saying is that that was an insult to my intelligence, my intellect. He asked you about Malcolm X. You didn't know very much. Asked you about SpongeBob, and you know the annotated history of it. This is a values issue. It's not just respect anymore. This is a values issue.
Now, Jason, do you think that it would have been possible for you to, I think women respect men that can lead them, educate them. Do you think that maybe this was her reaction, her SpongeBob encyclopedia is a reflection of her environment, and that maybe, you know, maybe it was possible that you could have filled in that blank, you know, about her people, about her history? And another thing, what's with you and old ladies? You know, they got old hands. What's up with that?
Oh, come on, Chris.
Dude, Brother, I'm 37 now. I mean, it's, man, come on now. That was 12 years ago. Bush wasn't
finished
messing
things
up. Chris,
what do you got against
old women,
man? Yeah, I mean, you're roasting them tonight.
This wasn't last year, man. This was a minute ago. So, please, I'm 37. I was 25 back then. I'm 37 now. So, it's been a minute. Hell, my nieces and nephews. Yeah, some of my nieces and nephews at least weren't even born back then. So, but first of all, I'm not going to teach a woman what to value knowledge of. That's her job. If you don't care enough to know about us as a people, but you care enough to know about SpongeBob as a cartoon character, waiter, check please. I'm not here to re-raise you. That was your mommy and your daddy's job. That's not mine. I'm not here to give you interest in our people. That's your job, not mine. How long would it take for me to sit up here and have this titanic struggle to raise a grown woman? It'd be much easier to just find somebody who's already got their head on straight. Hell, I'd rather teach Stephanie how to talk to people and engage people than teach somebody this. I'd rather do that.
Fair enough.
I'm not going to teach a grown woman how to have values. I will tell her that her values are missing. Hopefully she will find them in time enough for the next man. But you and me, no. No. You're a grown
woman. So let me ask you this, Jason. If I may, a woman should naturally hit a specific points in order to make her eligible for dating. Like, there should be at no point that she should miss. Like, what are your non-negotiables? I guess that will help me out.
Non-negotiable relative to each person. As I said before, about the intelligence thing, that's relative. About the cooking thing, that's relative. Me, myself, that's a big plus. But like I say, is my non-negotiables will not necessarily be yours. You might be okay with a chick who slept with a dozen guys as long as you don't know it. You might be okay. You know, you might be okay. She slept with 100 dudes. Hell, you probably got 50 bodies in the closet. So, I mean, you might be okay with that. Now, I'm from Louisiana. So, I mean, a woman who can't cook, hell, we got females who can't walk because they can cook. So that to me is just weird to meet a woman who can't cook. You know, that's just bizarre. But guess what? I've met them. Some were from out of state, though. But I met them. But down here, it's a culture. It's damn near a religion. So that would be different. But what I'm saying is that what's non-negotiable for me may not be for you. I assure you, in some capacity, you want it. A man wants a woman who is nurturing. Do you know what a woman who is nurturing is called? I'm sorry, do you know what a woman who is not nurturing is called? A man.
Okay.
A man.
A dude?
Yes, a woman who is not nurturing is a man. A man is looking for a mix, not a match. We're looking for somebody who brings things we do not have.
Hey Jason, I've never heard you even speak on this level, you know, as far as this topic. It's cool to see Jason After Dark. Like, you should do this once a week.
Thinking about it, I've been thinking it over, and that's one of the reasons why I wanted to keep Mona around, is because she can tell me what I'm saying, something really crazy and stuff. But I try to, I've never wanted a person who really got off into relationships that much or male-female relations. As you notice tonight, I'm not really dealing with male-female relations. I'm dealing with expectations at females and whatnot. Socioeconomics is my bread and butter, but I also realize that there's a wealth of young men out here, younger men, and young women as well, who these are things that were discussed in my house. And these are things mm-hmm. that I saw. But I'm unfortunately, and this is very sad to say, we can no longer take it for granted that these conversations are occurring in every home, or even most of them, or even half of them. We can't assume that these conversations are actually occurring. And me, as 37 years old, I don't have any kids, it didn't happen by accident. I had a lot of offers. I still get a lot of offers. I'm not really trying to bark up that tree, but I was
really why not?
Somebody needs to give y'all the game. As young men, somebody needs to give you the game. And even though I never really thought of this as game, it is, because I got a lot of dudes who wish they were in my position and aren't, and a lot of fellas who could be and will not be. And I'm like, hey, let me tell you what I know. Now, Tariq might tell it to you differently. Then again, he might say the same thing. He may just word it differently, or he may have a different perspective on it, or he might just not touch it at all. It depends, like I say. But we need more black men who are doing that and sitting young black men down and giving them the game. You know, so I just try to speak on the things I know for a fact. And I may end up doing this more often, simply because this is something that gets sorely neglected. I'll see how I feel about it. But I, in order for me to on a regular basis, I would really feel like I want to make sure it's a conversation that males and females were involved in, because I want mm-hmm. females to hear what males really think. And that's why Muse talked as much as she did. Even with your misconceptions, Stephanie, I let her talk as much as she did, even with the fallacies, because we need everybody to hear what the hell is really happening here. We're all making assumptions about what everybody knows and what everybody's doing, and that actually bred a lot of anger and resentment, because in a lot of cases, we are assuming that these men actually know, or that these women actually know how bad what they're doing is, and in a lot of cases, they don't know. They don't know, and then they're upset with us men, because we're like, hell no, you slept with 20 dudes in bed beside me. I'm not fooling with you, you girlfriend for life. That's what you are. And she's mad hell at you, because it's like, wait a minute, you slept with me. Okay, I slept with you. That doesn't mean I have to marry you. It doesn't? What are you, deaf? What, Patrick and SpongeBob, get the hell out of here. No, I slept with you. That means you are good enough to sleep with. That does not mean you're good enough to keep with. And
well,
never set her down and gave her the game. So you need an older woman like Mona to sit you down and give you the game. But we don't have very many females like Mona who are willing to do that and sit these young women down and explain to them why it is that in the last 4 months you slept with 6 men and none of them hold you back. You need a woman like Mona to sit you down and give you game.
Well, that's the problem. Yeah. We don't have enough Monas in our community, because a lot of young girls don't have guidance at home, and they're turning to television as their guide to how they should conduct themselves sexually. And so we definitely miss the elders in our community and women like Mona, because women like Mona around Mona's age are out trying to get young men or trying to live it up in the club.
Background noise.
Mona is an oracle.
That's not yours. That might be you, Chris.
Yeah, that's my phone. It's quiet at my place.
Yeah,
so
you're quiet
me.
On your side. I think that might be Chris, though. sometimes cell phone connections create this kind of background noise thing. But my thing about it is that understanding that I want men to be men and women to be women, but too often we totally neglected our children. We've totally neglected them. We've given birth to them, sent them out into the world, and said, okay, go figure it out on your own, including sex. Nobody wants to sit down and talk to these children. Because if your children are getting the game from television, that means you got a negligent ass parent. Mom, dad, you. Somebody has just totally neglected their responsibilities. Your children are never supposed to be finding out about the world and life from TV. Never. They are supposed to get game from you. We got too many people out here. That's the problem with all these young gals sitting up here letting shove unprotected penises in them. They're having children, but they're in no position to give them the game. Why? Because, hell, you never got it. That's why all these dudes can sleep with you, because you ain't got the game. So how can you put the game in these children and you don't have it? So that's why I cannot tell you, it must have been the last year, I've encouraged a dozen females to at least start doing what I do and start talking to other women. Start talking to other females. As black women, you don't talk to each other about anything substantive. It's just the truth. You don't. And that's why men can get over on you so easy. Because if you all would actually honestly, I got to put that in bold letters, honestly sit down and compare notes to each other, looking for understanding and resolution at the end of it, man, y'all be able to get nobody to pull nothing on you again.
You know what? You're right, and I think there's small factions of women who are doing that, but there's a lot of competitiveness between black women, and that's why a lot of us are not coming together and strategizing on how to improve our condition. I mean,
the word is not competition. Let me stop you. The word is not competition. The word is not competition. The word is animosity. Black women hate black women. I don't give a damn.
Well,
hate black women. Black women hate
each
other.
It's a sad reality.
And we use the words competition. We make the words cattiness. It's not competition. It's not cattiness. You all hate each other for whatever your reasons are and however it precipitated and germinated. However it originated, you hate each other. You hate black women. And that's why men are able to use that against you all the time. The mothers compete with the daughters. The daughters compete with their sisters. The sisters are competing with the female mail carrier. They hate, black women hate each other because black men do not know how to get attention in a positive way. And
well,
that leads to a situation where they are slugging out with each other for attention. And it leads eventually that feeling that you don't get attention is just like siblings. If one sibling feels like another one is getting more attention, what happens? You start to hate the other one.
Mm-hmm.
You don't demand that the parent give more affection. You start hating the other sibling. You were always their favorite. Real game.
Can I say something?
No, it's the truth.
No.
Oh, hey, Mona.
Hey, Muse. When you say competition, you're supposed to be trying to get the best. So women are you're saying women are competing for the lowest of low of men? I'm going to compete. I want the best.
I agree with you. I'm 100%.
I'm competing. I want the best of the lot. I want first place. I want that rib. I don't want to compete with the lowest of the low. That's what black women are doing. He got three baby mamas, and you think you the fourth one, and he going to do right by you. She got four baby daddies, and you think you the fifth baby daddy. You going to knock it out the park, and she's not going to have a sixth baby daddy. What are we competing for? And you're absolutely right, Jason. I think it's very important that you, with the audience, do speak about this, because you talk about game. Men are, they give game to get over, not to uplift. You're absolutely correct. A man that can change a tire is sexy. And I had an argument with a woman my age, because I'm 53. And I said, I want to be able to call my mom and say, my car broke down, and he'd be on his way. She said, I don't need him to do that. I have triple A.
That old heifer going to be single for the rest of her days. She's going to be single with flat tires, and she deserves every single one of them. That's all I got to say.
Yeah. She said, I have triple A. And I'm like, wow. Wow. Change a tire. If he can't fit a pipe, why does he think you need him? What's his motivation for saying?
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Go ahead.
My question is, since you are older than us, when did you see the shift change? Because back in the day, even my mother was telling me, you know, women used to sit down, mentor girls, teach them, because my mom is older. My mom's about, well, she'd probably kill me about telling her age, but she's 60. So, I mean, back in when she was growing up, women sat down and, you know, talked to girls and stuff. And she was able to pass a lot of things down to me. But in your opinion, when do you think you saw the shift change? Because black women used to be very supportive and nurturing towards each other.
Like I said earlier, when crack hit the black community, our standards, morals, convictions, values went out the door.
I got to disagree with that.
Hold on, let me add on to it. Let me add on to it. But realistically, I have always seen women gravitate towards grimy. I've always seen it. And I've always been
really?
A different type of female. Yes. And maybe it's because of my environment. Like Jason said, maybe I need to move. I've always seen it. And as a young woman, I never talked until I was 19 years old. But I thought my mental status was far advanced, or maybe I was weird. Because when I would listen to people talk, I would be like, that's not right. That's not correct. Okay, and I'll share a personal story with you. I'm a product of divorce. My mother and father divorced when I was 16. And as a young child, and I have a 12-year-old brother and 10-year-old sister, everybody's perception of what went wrong is different because of their mentality. And even myself, when I thought it was daddy's fault, as I grew older and thought logically, it's mama's fault. So once you become honest with yourself and think logically and take some emotions out of things, you see things that you've never seen before. We can say it went back to women's liberation, the Bonnie Raw era. I don't know why a woman want to be on the county. That's not enough money for me. That's not enough money for me to take care of my children. So women's liberation plus crack, disaster.
I mean, it was several steps on the way to have got us to the year 2014. What got to the year 1990 is not necessarily what got us to 2014. And what got us to 1980 is not necessarily what by 2014. So it's all those things put together. It starts with the women's lib, the welfare state, the I can sleep with who I want to because I don't have to be a good girl anymore. And I can smoke weed I want to and shaft and supply and the crack epidemic and the rise of gangster rap and all those things all together, which gangster rap is actually a product, all those other things. But it starts to form a synergy. And that's what's supposed to happen. Starts to form a synergy. And that synergy starts to have diabolical, devastating consequences. So the answer is all those things. And what we're experiencing today is the culmination of all those things. And the problem is, as the factors tend to decay even more, they create more problems. It's like a person whose health is going downhill. your kidneys give out. And then next thing you know, your circulation issues. And then next thing you know, lung problems. You know, it started with the kidneys, but now we got more issues than just that.
Right. You know, you used to get, it was a shame to the whole. Women used to, even today when I go out, I'm overdressed. You know, I was taught to leave something to the imagination. I was taught to have a little mystery about yourself. Let a man try to see what's underneath the clothes. They see everything. And then you're displaying your butt, displaying your chest, so, and then you're mad when you speak on that. Now you want to treat it like a lady, but you don't look like a lady. You look like you want to have sex with me.
Well,
there's
you know
no
what?
Path.
Even at that, though, Mona, that's just that mock outrage. They always, as long as men are paying them attention sexually, oh, they're always just talking about my beauty. Oh, that's just terrible. And as soon as the men stop talking about it, they get an even higher pair of shorts.
Exactly.
That mock outrage thing, men are hip to the game. We understand that that's your benefit so that you don't call her a hoe. But we know the game, and that's why men respond the way that we do. If that's what we're after, guess what? That's why they always end up dead, because we know the game. And the only time that they get genuinely mad is when we stop calling all together. And they start adding up how many men they've been through or how many men done run through them. Now
yes.
They're mad. Now they're legitimately angry.
Yes. You're absolutely correct.
Now, you know, back to the hatred thing. I had a conversation with Melissa about that, about why it is that so many of those females don't like her. And I explained to her, I said, let me just make this clear to you, kid. The problem is that they don't like you because you're not failing with men today. You see, misery loves company. And if you were failing with them, they'd be all right with it. If you were failing just like they are, they'd be okay. You're a single mother. You got a couple kids by a couple dudes. They would be all right. But because you got a good job, you live in an upscale neighborhood, because you've gotten your life on track, despite those mistakes, that's what they hate. Because not looking like something that the cat dragged in and you work out every day, that's what they hate. You're not failing. So they're hating on that because they look at themselves and they're like, well, I got three kids by three different dudes, and I may not work out, but why come guys ain't paying me this attention? And I may not be as nice, but I deserve to be the nice after all the hell I've been through. Let me jump on Melissa. Let me bring her down. Let me tear her down because my life has been crap. And I still get treated like crap. And she doesn't. And it's not fair. And it's not right. She should suffer now. She should see what like somebody else knocked her down a peg or two so that she can see what it's like to be me for a while. See what it's like to live my life for a while and to be run over for a while. She should have to live my
life. But that
love.
Doesn't even
that's,
logically
that's
make
hate.
Sense. Yeah, these women, they have no logic. I don't know who Melissa is. I'm like I said, I'm still a new listener, so I have to play catch up. But them blaming her for their poor life decisions, which is something actually I've noticed a trend within the black community, is that the women especially have a tendency to blame others for the choices that they've made, and it doesn't. And then when they meet someone who didn't make those same choices, and you have criticism for that, because I've actually been accused of being judgmental when I say, hey, that's not right. And instead of trying to justify your poor decisions, you need to reach back and teach other girls, hey, I did this. This was not the right way. You can do better. And this is how you can do better, instead of trying to encourage them to repeat the same destructive cycle. That's something I do have an issue with, because, like you said earlier, no one's really being honest. Which is why I really appreciate this podcast, because you're speaking a lot of truth about these issues. And when you actually have a nerve to speak up and say, hey, you know what, it's not a good idea to have a child outside of marriage, out of wedlock, or having different baby daddies. One is not economically sound, and just for the function of your family, it doesn't make sense. You're being called judgmental. I've been called elitist on many occasions because I've been very outspoken about people, women waiting till marriage to have babies. but, you know, I'm the crazy person, so.
I'm an elitist. And, let me tell you right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I guess
top.
I'm an elitist with TBA,
I am a member of the elite. I'm elite like SEAL Team 6. I am an elitist. You are damn right. I am one of the elite. I'm one of the few in the proud, not no Marine, though. I am an elitist. You damn right. There's nothing common about me.
And you're absolutely correct. But instead of woman noticing that, admiring that, commending that, they'll say, oh, nobody gets them. You know, they'll say all kind of negative things. Reason why you can't get a woman. Nobody wants you. And our minds are twisted. Because let me say this. As you think as a woman, if you're in a good relationship with a man, and you, every time your girl calls you and you were like, oh, my man did this for me. My man did this for me. We're having a good time. We're really getting along. They're not going to call you every day. But if you call your girl and you cried and you say, hey, your man did this, that, and the other, on your phone all day long. They're calling you and they're trying to figure out what happened next. But it's something positive. No, women don't want to hear that.
If it's something,
Mona,
your relationship
women,
with your man is good, a black male doesn't want to know anything except how she can ruin it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Your black girlfriends will sleep with your man faster if your relationship is good. And they will if your relationship's not. Tell me that I'm sitting up here fooling people right now.
No, you're not. And that's why we have to vet the women we're around, because you may be on point as a female, but if you're still hanging out with women who don't share similar values, and I'm talking about positive values that uplift your community and will set your family up for generations, then it's time to drop them. Because I've had other friends who continue to hang out with women who are very – who have very questionable behaviors, and I was forced to ask myself this, you know, like, why am I associated with this person when we don't share similar values? And she makes excuses for why she does these, you know, things I consider immoral. And then I finally had the guts, because sometimes it is scary to drop friendship, to separate myself with that, because, one, I don't want that reflecting on me. And two, this person, if she's willing to trash another woman's husband or screw another woman's husband and do all these inappropriate things, what makes me think I'm immune? Like, that person, my philosophy is that if they're going to wrong someone else, they will wrong you in the long run. And so, you know, I think we need to be more selective of who we make alliances with and who we associate with, because if you bring garbage to your house is going to attract fleas.
You know, too many black women sit up here and say, that's my girl, that's my friend. Don't you understand that if you hang out with a hoe, you hang out with a ratchet, we think the exact same thing of you. Even if we see that you are not, well, the two of y'all hang out so much, I will see if I can pressure you to mimic her behavior.
Exactly.
Because I got her in the bed easy. The fact you hang out with her, I'm going to try to pressure you to do the same thing. I'm TA, and I'm telling you that. Not that I would. I'm just telling you that's the way men think.
Well, it
I'm
makes
you,
sense.
That's what
it's
we really
logical.
Do.
It's logical.
No,
why
I'm
would
saying,
you think?
What I'm saying is that if you are a good girl and you hang out with bad girls, even if we as men know that you are a good girl, we will begin to pressure you to imitate the bad girls.
And, Jason, let me take it to a step further. You start to – people emulate the behavior of those who they're around the most. So if you are, quote, a good girl, if you continue to hang out with, quote, bad girls, you're going to start emulating their behavior. It's usually not the other way around, unfortunately. It's usually not the good girl influencing the bad girls. I hate to use that. It's so simplistic, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, but I mean –
it's usually the other way around.
Even if you never start emulating them, even if you never start imitating them ever, we'll still, as men, try to pressure you to do the same thing. Understand something. There is always, always, I'm giving you game right now, there is always a mark for low-hanging fruit. And the best low-hanging fruit is new low-hanging fruit.
Exactly.
There's a lot of guys out there going to be mad as hell with me after hearing hearing tonight after hearing this broadcast. They're going to be, you stayed up all night just so you can blow our cover. Tell your girlfriend.
I think it's going to benefit everybody.
He talks about money all the time. You don't want to listen to him. He's talking about money. No, you want to listen to this. But it's the truth that men understand something. We will rise to the lowest level you demand. And I'm saying it just like that. We will rise to the lowest level that you demand.
God, that is so much
fun. All you demand is that if all you demand is hanging out with Boudica and Shandalika, guess what? That's all we're going to expect and demand. That's all we're going to rise to. And if we see you hanging out with them, we are going to demand you come down to their level. You're not going to hang out with them and then demand superior treatment. You're hanging out with them, you come down to their level. It's like water. It seeks its own level. Well, guess what? You're coming down. You're coming down. That's the way it's going to be. As men,
you know, I think you're being nice about this because I'll take it even further. I actually don't think it'll be an act if a woman, you know, lowers herself because she's hanging out with bad behavior, you know, bad influences. Because let's say you make an error or you have a situation as a woman and you don't have anything but, you know, morally questionable friends. And instead of having someone to hold you accountable and say, hey, sis, you know, this is not the right path for you to take. You shouldn't do X, Y, and Z because this is detrimental to, you know, your long-term, you know, life or whatever goals you have. Instead of telling you that, they're going to say, girl, don't worry about it. Only God, my favorite, only God can judge you kind of nonsense. And they'll actually encourage you to behave inappropriately. So that's why I originally said you can't be a good girl too long when you're hanging out with those kind of people because no one's perfect. We all have, you know, reach our paths where we have a moral crisis or a situation where sometimes we just need a little, we know right and wrong, but we just need a little encouragement from our circle to do the right thing and know and be at peace about it. But when you have a corrupt circle, they're not going to encourage you to do the right thing. They want to see you fail. They want to say, no, I thought she was good, but look, she's just like us. So that's why I kept elaborating, like, you're not going to be a good girl too long, even if the men try to encourage you to emulate the behavior of your counterparts. I think it's going to be authentic because you're around them and that's what you know. You don't have the moral superiority anymore at that point.
Only God can judge me.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't agree with that. I judge too.
Only
so.
God can judge me. That is a motto of hoes who don't have an excuse to stay hoeing. If a hoe got an excuse for her hoeing, she don't say that. When a hoe has been hoed out so much that she ain't even got a good excuse, no, it is only God can judge me. So that is the motto of hoes who don't have a proper excuse for their hoeing. That is what that is.
Yeah, I think we all figured that out, but it said so much verbatim, it's sickening. It's like, man, God needs to take a lightning bolt and strike your ass, excuse me, striking down where you stand. Because it's absurd. It takes away accountability. And
what
that's what's frustrating.
Need, yeah, that's the point of this, to take away personal accountability, because she's not trying to be accountable for these draws in no way. But you know what we need now, though? And unfortunately, we don't have a group of women who are honorable enough to do that yet. I'm hoping at some point we can start that tide turn. We will see. What we need are a generation of black women who are willing to fall on their swords for their children. We need a generation of black women who are willing to suck up that they made mistakes, a lot of mistakes, and that they are willing to sacrifice themselves so that their daughters do not have to repeat their mistakes. That's what we need.
Absolutely.
But that,
I agree.
That would require a selfless generation of black women. That's the only catch. You can get that if you get a selfless generation of black women.
You know, I'm optimistic, though, despite all the craziness that goes on there. Because, I mean, from my experience, I can't completely bash all black women for the simple fact that I've been blessed to be part of circles of women who are, you know, they care about you, they're nurturing, they mentor. And I'm not talking about just from an educational perspective, but, you know, two of my mentors are happily married women. They've both been married for 30-plus years. And, I mean, just the advice and the things that they've been sharing with me about, you know, things they have to do to become wives and, you know, what marriage is like and just getting just the mentality they have. They're probably one of the most selfless women out there. And so, I mean, there are pockets, it's not enough, but there are pockets of women out there who do care about what goes on in our communities, who do care about our girls, you know, and making sure that they grow up to be healthy, well-rounded, functional, sane women who know how to navigate this world without exploiting themselves or falling into line with, you know, the depictions the mainstream society wants to have black women act out. So I'm actually really hopeful. I really am. And maybe I'm, you know, in a small circle, but it's, I mean, it gives me some hope at least. And the people I'm around, there are good, dignified black people out there who are invested. So,
okay, let me say this. Regardless if there are good women out here that are willing to pick a young lady under their wing, what are the young ladies gravitating toward? Because it makes no sense to have women that care about young ladies and their virtue. They're not gravitating toward us.
Okay, now let me answer that one. Mona, Okay. Here's the problem. The problem is, by definition, you cannot wait for the willing. Because by that rationale, I never would have started this broadcast, and I wouldn't be talking here right now. If I was only going to wait for those who were willing and receptive and gravitated to this message, Dr. Andrews, by definition, it would be unnecessary for me to do this broadcast. By definition, it would be unnecessary for Dr. Anderson to write his books. By definition, it would be unnecessary for Don Peebles to write his books. If people naturally gravitated to the truth, you wouldn't us. So by definition, we have to recognize that there is a problem, and we have to at least solicit to people that there is an answer and wait for them to come. What they gravitate to is irrelevant. That does not absolve us of the responsibility and you as women of the responsibility of putting it out there that, hey, somebody does have the answers, and some real answers are actually out there. Because right now we got zero. The problem is right now we got nothing. That's the problem.
You're absolutely correct, Justin, and that's why I do what I do. But I'm trying to make the point of this. We have a group of women who want to have a moral compass. They don't have a gauge for morality. They don't have a gauge for morals and standards.
Well, let me explain about that right quick. You said they don't have a gauge for morality, they don't have a gauge for standards. And I understand that. I mean, hey, I've been talking about it for years, so I mean, you're preaching to the choir here. But here's the other part of it. The other part of it is that so often, and this is a difficult thing, especially for females today, for males in particular, for all of us as people, we underestimate our own power and our own influence so much. We underestimate how what we can do to turn the tide. We underestimate how powerful we really are. And my whole thing has been about, you all need to understand that if you will just get up and speak, that build it and it will come is not necessarily an axiom. Look it up. But speak and it will come is not necessarily an axiom. But if you do speak, and people start hearing that there's somebody who actually has a real message, or should I say somebody who actually, they heard something, eventually at some point they're going to come along and they're going to hear something. They're going to see something that reinforces what you said. My biggest thing right now is not worry about how many show up or how receptive the audience is to it. Get it out there into the atmosphere. Get it out there. That's the most important thing, is getting out there, because right now, that's going to be the most important thing. If you do that and don't focus on numbers. If you do that, that's where change comes in. Because take a look at me. You know, I mean, I'm telling you from personal experience. Take a look at me. You know, we see all this stuff on Facebook and whatnot. Guess what? I mean, Jesus told you where the people are. That's where you need the doctor. I put my stuff, you know, in places where people wouldn't necessarily think, hey, they need to see this. Emails, you know, the place that you get the inappropriate messages from and whatnot. Where the ratchetness is going on, they need to see Black women who are exhibiting something different. Go into those chat rooms, go into those relationship rooms, go to those relationship groups, and be a voice there, and let them know that you got your own thing, and let them show up, even if they show up looking for some bull jive, let them hear somebody who's going to tell them the truth for a minute. And that's why it's important that I have this type of synergy with Mona, because we as Black people, not just as Black men or Black women, we as Black people need to start talking to each other honestly and in a real way. That it wouldn't have bothered me if some hoes called in tonight. They definitely need to be talking. Not just so I can wag my finger and tell them what's wrong, but so that they can tell us, here's why I thought it was okay. This is why I thought I was going in the wrong direction. How else do we help somebody else? But more than anything else, Mona, I wouldn't even worry about that. I would not even worry about how many are receptive, how many gravitate to it. You put your light out there. Put your light out there. That's what they'll gravitate to. Because if nothing else, what they said in that movie, Malcolm X, and I think it was actually based on a real statement, water clean, water foul. If you give people dirty water to drink, they'll drink it, no other choice, and if they're thirsty. But if you give people a choice between clean water and dirty water, they will choose the clean every time. Now, the problem we're having today is they're usually drinking a lot of dirty water, but they recognize the clean. But that's the point of you putting the light out there. Your light is the clean water. But right now, we need to have a glass to offer them. Don't worry about how many are gravitating to it. Right now, we need some glasses of clean water, please.
And you're right, Jason, and I just want to say this, anyone that is listening to our broadcast, you don't have to say your name. We are trying to provide a vehicle that we can get ourselves together. Call in. These are the things that people don't call in. They just listen. Call in. You can say, my name is Jamaica. We don't know you. You have an issue, you're willing to hear people that really care about you, talk and help you, assist you, call it.
I'm happy you said that, Mona, because I think there's just so much shame in our communities where people are, you know, deep down, I think a lot of people know if they're not living right, and there is a certain level of shame that comes with that, which, you know, shame is kind of, for me, is your spiritual alarms telling you not living right. But I think it's important to have this dialogue and have solution-based deliverables to present to the people, just because, and just being honest about our experiences and how to grow from it and avoid pitfalls.
Do you know why so many people end up $200,000 in debt? They end up owing $200,000 and $300,000 and $500,000 in debt. And the reason for that is very simple. They end up $200,000 in debt because they refused to admit that they were in trouble at $20,000.
Exactly.
What you said about shame, we as Black people need to recognize that we are a bankrupt people. Let me say that one more time. Our women are morally bankrupt. There's many facets of the society that have moral bankruptcy issues, but those are my women, so I'm concerned about that. Everybody else got to take care of their problem. I'm taking care of mine. We have morally bankrupt women. And we need women to understand it's time to cut up the credit cards because you're just digging yourself deeper now.
Mm-hmm.
A bankrupt situation, the reason that they end up going so much further into debt than they otherwise would have been is because when their bank account was empty, and I know, Let me say this one more time. I'm laying it out there for you all. I can't tell you these things because of somebody else's life. I'm telling you because of mine. And I didn't really go into debt per se. It was just that I was no longer making as much money as I was. And I refused to admit how deep the problem was. And I became the type of person that I told myself I would never be. I stopped opening my bank statements. Oh, I was still spending money. Refused to open the bank statements. I did not want to see how bad the situation really was. I kept telling myself 50,000, 50,000, 50,000, 50,000. I kept saying that until the damn people showed up. And you all know the people I'm talking about. I kept saying it until they showed up and said, no, you have not paid us. I didn't even argue with them. There was nothing to argue over. You ain't got one receipt. Show this man. I stopped opening my statements because I didn't want to see them. Not because they didn't send them to me. I didn't want to see them because I did not want to find out how bad it really was. I just kept acting as if, I guess I kept telling myself if I didn't look, it wouldn't get any worse. That worst thing I could do was look. Ends up actually looking and saying, okay, what are we going to do about this? Because refusing to look was my way of trying to escape accountability. And maybe if I had looked, maybe I would have said, you know what? Not looking is not making that number go away. Not looking is not making the number get any bigger. We need to sit down and be an adult and figure out how the hell we can deal with this. You got five vehicles that need to be replaced. You need to figure out what you are going to do, $180,000, so you can replace them. What are we going to do? And instead, I just sat there. But then again, when you got a big booty girlfriend telling you how great you are, it's very easy to sit there. Very, very easy to sit there. And that's exactly what I did. And that's exactly what we tend to do as people. Black women today are refusing to open their bank statements. These niggas ain't nothing. They just want booty models, which is where this all started from. They just want booty models. Y'all just want some light-skinned female. Y'all just want this. Y'all just want that. They are refusing to open their bank statements and say I. That's the only time that black women never use the word I, is when it comes to personal accountability. I never gets used. I is only for what I want, not for what did I give. And what I'm saying is that if we need to get our women to open up the bank statements, take a look at the damn balance sheet. And maybe I can't promise you that everything will be okay, but I will be able to promise you that your life is actually going to start being able to get dealt with on real terms. Because all this living fantasy land ain't fixing nothing. And worse than that, it's harming your children if you don't care about yourself. And even if your life doesn't get any better, at least give a damn about your kids. At least give a damn about them. And maybe there is no hope for you. Let's just deal with the bottom line. Maybe there is no hope. Maybe like Chris said, maybe it is over for you. But even if it is over for you, shouldn't you be pouring every ounce of sweat and every drop of blood in your body to make sure that your daughters and your sons don't repeat your mistakes? Shouldn't you be looking for some redemption instead of an excuse and an easy way out? Maybe there is no hope for you, but maybe you should start looking for some salvation for your soul. And I don't even mean that in a religious context, but if that's what works for you, hey, I'll roll with it. Maybe you should start being concerned about some redemption. because these are aspects of the black female psyche that have manifested itself today, and people hate black women for it. And the people who hate black women the most today are other black women. How can you talk about I'm the backbone of the people when everybody despises you? That's not the way backbones work. The only time that people have a backbone and despise it is when they have back pain. And guess what? I want to get rid of that too. I do not want to be the male half of the race of people whose females are unwanted. I want black women to be the best and the greatest in the world because that's the way that I see them. I see that ideal. But the problem is they aren't living that ideal. They see it within themselves and too often are not concerned. And I'm hoping we can bring that into fashion again, but even for those women who no longer qualify, you have a seat at the table. Give up the fantasy that there's a husband waiting for you. There is not. I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. I'm telling you that your company is bankrupt. And all I'm doing is finally opening, since you won't open your statements and take a look at how bad the debt is, I'm opening it for you. I pulled out this knife, but this is not a knife. It's a letter opener. Because somebody needs to have the courage to open this letter and see how bad it really is. The only thing you have left are your children. There ain't no man waiting for you. There is no Prince Charming. He's not coming. Not now. Not this afternoon. Not tomorrow. Not next year. You missed your chance. You ruined it too much. Somebody should at least give you the peace of telling you the truth. It's all for you. But they still have a chance. Now, are you going to let your business and selfishness and short-sightedness rob them of theirs? So now not only do the men despise you, but the children that you had hate you too? Because that's the unspoken little secret in black society, by the way. That the black female matriarchy has failed so miserably and disgustingly that most black females, can we say this honestly, can I say this? Most black females hate their mothers. This facade of the black female queen so laughable and ridiculous because everybody knows. Most black daughters have nothing but acid and venom and animosity for their mothers. Because their mom didn't love them enough to fall on her sword for her children. At what point does somebody do that? People ask me, why do I do my broadcast so much despite the odds and difficulty and all the mess I put up with? Because it's about damn time that we have a generation of black men who were willing to sacrifice themselves, their people, not just one of the generation of us. Far past time. I want to thank you ladies for joining us, especially you, Mona, because Mona found
out
how
it is.
Come here, you're coming with me. And I hope a lot of people got something out of this. I will be uploading this, as soon as we all hang up the phones here, I guess I'll be uploading this for everybody. This has been the first, the first initial edition of TBA After Hours, I don't know. I call it that. I don't know. But thank you for joining me, Mona. And we'll be doing this again. Maybe not tomorrow night. No, not tomorrow night. But we will be doing this again almost 9 hours. We may pay us for this, you know? What she thinks she's trying to figure out how much to charge. Don't let me leave her here spending too long. Thank you very much for joining us, ladies. And I want to thank all of you out there for joining us, too, brothers and sisters from around the world. Welcome to what we do here. I hope you've had an intelligent conversation that you've been able to hear from us. And concludes tonight's broadcast. I will be broadcasting tomorrow night again. Well, tonight, 7 p.m. Central. Same black time, same black channel. And until next time, brothers and sisters from around the world, black isn't just the future. Black is the truth. And the truth uncompromising.